participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Hello?
Buzz?
I'm here.
Oh,
that was quick.
Hi, Buzz.
Everybody loves Donna Buzz.
Like, just waiting for you, Buzz.
Yeah.
That's okay, Buzz. I'm a second late myself here.
Uh-huh.
Was down the hall having a great, great meeting with Al Leinwand.
Oh. How is he? Yeah.
Well, he's the same, Mike.
Okay, well, that's not good.
He's exactly the same.
No major changes?
Yeah. He's infatuated by the penny.
Of course he is.
Infatuated.
That's his job.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The penny is his seductress.
The penny is his mistress.
His mistress.
Poor old Alan.
Yeah.
Well, he dwells upon the copper.
Yes.
He lives for the copper.
He does.
And incidentally, he likes the copper taste in his mouth.
He does.
Yeah. He loves to keep track of every single penny.
Shake hands with an Alan Leinwand, and you'll always find a coin under his tongue.
You know what's fun about him is he names them, too. The pennies.
Yes.
Pet names.
He does. He started by calling them Abe, and then Link.
Hansel.
Gretel.
All that wonderful.
And look at
those pennies.
Mike, look what we have for you from phone slave.
Happy birthday
Joe.
To me.
It's not your birthday yet, though.
Happy birthday to you.
We've recorded it also.
Not your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And a Caesar salad from Joe Ardinger. Thank you, Joe.
That is the meal that you request how many days a week?
Absolutely. Every day. Here we go.
You request it every day, and you very rarely get it.
Hey, he did it.
That was Mike blowing out the candles on his Caesar salad.
And the candles jammed into the pieces of breast meat chicken. Hey, it's a fine birthday.
It's a good taste of wax.
Thank you so much.
There you go.
Yes,
there you go.
That's great. This Caesar salad's not tainted, is it, Joe?
He's gone.
It might be tainted if I'm thinking of a different kind of tainting, if Joe prepared the food.
Let's see how he likes his romaine lettuce when it visits my area.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, every day he yells, Joe, get me a Caesar salad.
And we want to give the very best. The prepackaged Caesar dressing.
Don't look good. Give salad in the mouth,
the best
Mike.
Way to
I was thinking
transport
of another
it.
Kind of tainting. Like there might be something that looks like oregano or perhaps mushrooms in the salad.
Oh, that's Michael, have a funny show today.
This is good.
Well, you don't.
Did you
like
get it from Pizzarama?
No, I made it.
Made it. You made it?
He made it with his
Fairfax
own.
Fairfax makes chicken Caesar salad that delivers.
Wow. Thank you, Joe.
Except Joe.
One person does.
There you go, your man.
On your
Joe.
Birthday.
Man, homemade. That's great, Joe. Thank you very much.
And it's creamy Caesar.
Thank you. It's good chicken.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joey.
Joe knows chicken.
Appreciate it.
Every day he complains about the chicken Caesar salad. Here it is. I'm halfway home.
There's nobody in Fairfax that delivers a Caesar salad.
How old are you, anyway?
Huh?
How old are you?
He's 44.
Five.
45.
45.
Now.
Well, yeah, you won't be 45 till next week.
That's yeah, I mean, next when my birthday falls.
Well, happy birthday.
When my birthday falls, I will be 45 next week.
Give me your cell phone number, and on your birthday, I'll call you up all drunked up.
Okay. All right, I will. Absolutely.
That'll be good, and that'll happen.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, first, good luck getting the number.
Mm-hmm.
And second off, good luck remember to call, even if you
I'll
do get the
number.
Yeah, you'll give him the... You know what? I know what number you'll give him. Now, listen to this. Hold on. From the arsenal of Mike O'Mara, and we got a lot of talk to talk about today.
Really?
Yes, we do. Mike had his appearance.
Thanks to everybody at Golfdom.
Want to hear about that?
Yeah.
I got to tell you about
buddy Michelle Combs.
Some things that happened to me at home today.
Yes, you've had a day.
I did, but...
You have had a day.
But I found something with my friend Mike. Now, let's say that you're out at this appearance, and you're seeing Mike, and you're a chick, and you like Mike.
Okay.
Well, here's what Mike does. Now, Mike has a girlfriend. Carla is her name.
Yes.
And Mike has a little system where he'll say, hey, all right, nice to meet you. Even if he thinks that there'll be no chance, what he does is he says, give me a call sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives out this number.
What are you talking about?
You know this number. You say, any chick that comes up to you and you say, oh, yeah, listen, I'd love to get together. Give me a call. Here's my cell number.
All right.
So you call him.
I don't know where this is going.
Sure you do. Come on.
Hello. This is not the person you were trying to call. You've reached the rejection hotline provided by rejectionhotline.com. The person who gave you this number did not want you to have their real number. We know this sucks, but don't be too devastated. So why were you given the rejection hotline number? Maybe you're just not this person's type. No, this could mean short, fat, ugly, dumb, annoying, arrogant, or just a general loser. Maybe you suffer from bad breath, body odor, or a nasty combination of the two.
Yeah.
Maybe you just give off that creepy, overbearing, psycho stalker vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the idea of going out with you just seems as appealing as playing leapfrog with unicorns. Regardless of the reason, please take the hint. Accept the fact that you were rejected, and then get over it. And please, do your best to forget about the person who gave you this number, because trust us, they've already forgotten about you.
Oh! Yeah. There you go.
That is...
Yeah. Oh! That is cold! That is cold. And there are a lot of services like that. I've got this number, like you don't already know what the number is.
The rejection hotline.
Mm-hmm. The rejection hotline.
And I've, you know, the nice thing about it, I've given it...
Man, that's cold.
I've given it and I've gotten it.
Yeah.
That's the night, and that's when you know you live a full life.
Okay, here we go. Hey now.
Yeah, okay.
Ah, well, you know what? We'll just have to wait on the groaners. Enjoy the salad. How is the salad, Mike?
Excellent.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready.
Yes, we are. There we go. And hi, Julian.
Hello.
Hi there. Hi. Hi, uncles. Here's this guy.
You can call Don and Mike.
That's machine number 6.
Really?
But they tell me that when we get back after the 4th of July, that it's all computerized, right, Rob? That's the new thing, that we play the button now and everything will be on the computer?
You and Mike won't even need to show up. We will have downloaded your talent as well.
All right.
That's exciting for me.
Still not working. Hold on. Now the tape is not working in any machine. Give me a moment. You know, fortunately, this will be the last time this happens. Here we go.
Based on a true story.
There he is.
He was a neo-Nazi.
Changes next week.
True enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
There you go.
My guys had a message.
Oh, what's the message?
They mean no disrespect to Oriental.
Oh, God.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Not Cheap, but Thoughtless.
Yeah.
And all the chips at sea. They want to take you to the shed. Don Geronimo and Mike. Birthday.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Friday. 06-18-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz. And, yeah, it is June 18, 20-04. Call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. From Canada, please be calling 800-636-1067. And Washington, D.C. on WJFK FM 202-432-1067.
All right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear about your thing today.
The appearance?
Yeah, if you give me just a second, though.
Yeah, well, you and I were chatting in the office.
I know
you've got an awful lot to get off your chest.
I fight with my wife a lot, like most guys fight with their wives.
Uh-huh.
But most guys, at first, I don't fight like Rob. Ball up my fists and fight. We fight with
like
words.
Like Rob does.
And when we fight with words, generally speaking, 99.999% of the time, my wife and I, even when we argue, we snip like all couples do.
Sure.
But there's always a measured tone. Today, it was seriously like a scene out of The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, at approximately 7:30 this morning, when I was, and I mean, screaming like this at her, I referred to her as Carmella.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
And she didn't care for that.
Didn't respond well
she
to that.
She didn't care for that. I think we've worked past it, but I mean, we had today one of those knock down, drag out, whatever the saying is.
That's right, knock down, drag out.
The fight, a fight that's verbal, where they're screaming and there's yelling, and she leaves to go from one room to the next room, and I follow her to that room, and she goes to the next room, and then she says, okay, well, if you're really only going to tell me what you think when you're really mad, then now's the time. Just tell me what you really think. And I said, you don't really want to know what I want, because you can't handle what I was doing. Wow. She said, I can take anything that you can tell me that you want to.
Bring it on.
Here's how it started. God, I woke up this morning feeling great. Still do feel good.
Had the birds singing?
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. In my world, the windows, of course, are sealed, as always.
I meant the birds singing in your head.
Even on a nice day, I insist, like Howard Hughes, that all the windows be sealed.
Still, you sing Dippity Doo Dah. I'm sorry, and covered with foil.
Yeah, that's the Elvis touch.
Right.
But I wake up, and
my, oh my.
For me, I've slept in. It's like 10 after 7. I wake up, and first thing I think is, like always, okay, what am I going to do today? Laying in bed, think, oh, got the show, good.
Mm-hmm.
Summer vacation coming up, good.
There's a bright golden haze in the meadow.
The bathroom finally is completed. I can go in there and do my business.
Yeah.
I really woke up in just a Jim Dandy mood.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
I come downstairs. Now, keep in mind, Carmela's already been up.
Uh-huh.
She's been up, she's been out for her walk, run, talk about how awful our husbands are with the wives, whatever thing they do, whatever these right. Stepford women do when they get together and go somewhere in a group early in the morning with the dogs.
Oh, you mentioned that to me, because that's interesting. So she's had a conversation with one of her friends.
Oh, with more than one of them.
Oh, maybe something,
No, because here's what happened. She goes out, she does that, and then she meditates, because she's got it together. And by the time I roll out of bed, she's already done all of this. She's eating her genetically proven to be not bad for you food, everything organic. She's sipping her coffee that has no caffeine. You know, what's the friggin' point there?
Right. I mean, you're basically pouring hot water down your throat.
You might as well have an O'Doul's for breakfast. I mean, come on. What's the point?
Well, I do that.
Good for you, Mike.
But she's sitting there, and the first thing that she says, I sat down, and I said, hey, baby. And she said, hey. I said, so what you got going on today? And she said, oh, I guess that project that you told me that you'd have done by today isn't going to be done. That's the first thing that she said. Now, I will tell you, it being absolutely as honest as I can be, I'm not Harry Homeowner. I'm not, you know, Hank Home Depot. There are some things I can do. There are some things I can't do. I've tried to help out around the house. I've tried to pick up the slack when she's gone to work. This was one job that I told her earlier in the week. I said, I'll have it done by Friday. So, okay, I'll give you that. This job, which incidentally, I won't bore you with the details, but it's not a life-altering job.
No, it's a boring job.
That has to be done in the house.
Boring, boring, boring.
But I told her that I would do it, and as it turns out, I didn't do it. Now, I was willing to take my lumps on that. But here's where it plays out. If she's sitting there, all prim and proper, all, you know, nicely sweated because she's been, you know, working out because she's athletic and she's eating her perfect food and she's just looking at the newspaper and she says, so I guess that job's not going to get done this week, is it? And I said, well, I guess not.
Was she curt with you?
She was more than curt.
Ah.
There was an attitude.
There was a tone.
There was a tone
She took the tone with you?
And at that point, I escalated it. And I said, you know, come on, knock it off. I believe what I said is, stop breaking my balls. I just came down to the kitchen table. The first thing you tell me, I said, how about you give me a little of that? Because I remember, like, during the last week when she has said to me, you know, the stuff she'd never dare repeat on the radio, like, right. Oh, you're such a big help to me, and thanks for doing this, and thanks for handling this. Not that I do everything. I'm a lazy slob that does a radio show, but I do enough around the house. And in quiet moments, she actually acknowledges that in my own way, I do what I can.
Mm-hmm. You do your fair share.
I do not even my fair share,
right?
You know, I do less than my fair share, but I do what I can.
Right.
It's no surprise. It's nothing she doesn't know. We've been married for 23 freaking years.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason today, I just had effing enough. And as she said, well, I don't want to have this discussion with you. and she moved over to another area. She moved away from the kitchen table, sat over by the breakfast bar. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going
to
stop it.
She went to the corner and sat Indian style.
So she goes and she sits over there, and I go over and I stand over there, and I look at her, I go, what are you doing? She said, I don't want to have this discussion with you. No, I just want to have my breakfast. I said, well, I want to have the discussion. So now she moves back to the kitchen table. And I sat there for a second, and she said, are you just going to spend the day staring at me? I said, here, listen, I don't know why you don't have a moment to discuss this with me. All you're doing is eating your New Age food and reading Hagar the Horrible or whatever comic strip it is that you're reading. For God's sakes, and this is where I lost, I said, put down the friggin' paper and talk to me without telling me first thing in the morning whatever it is that I've done wrong. And at
good morning, good morning.
And that's when it was apparent that she'd been up for a couple of hours, uh-huh. Even though she doesn't drink caffeine, she's got it stored inside her because, man, she came back. Boom, boom, boom. I don't ask a lot from you around this place. You get to set your hours. You're the one who's the artistic one. I understand that you don't know what goes on with this house. You don't know what it's like keeping this house going, keeping everything going around here. And I'm saying, oh, yeah, come on. Tell me about it. These are your problems? These are your problems? These don't sound like problems to me.
Wow.
I mean... And she was giving it as good as I'm getting.
So this is very loud. They could hear you around the block.
I imagine, Jesus Christ, there probably was an earthquake in Japan today. We haven't had a heavy-duty, scream-at-each-other fight like this in maybe 10 years.
Wow.
And I have no idea what brought it on. I'll give you this. Perhaps I overreacted. When maybe on the 10,000th time during our marriage of 23 years, I've come downstairs and had the first words out of her mouth be, oh, you've let me down again.
Yeah, that puts it on kind of a bummer scale there.
But she would say, in her defense, she would say, I didn't say it meanly, I just brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what set me off. The whole thing is, I'm coming downstairs. This is what you say to your man. First thing when he comes downstairs, he get ready to go back to work again. Oh, hi, good morning. Oh, I guess that little job that you promised you'd do, I guess you're not going to do that. Don't worry, I'll handle that myself. You know, I ended up screaming at her. I do a little job. It's called going to work every day and being on the radio every day for 34 goddamn years.
She only needs to say one thing to you. It should be kind of a standard greeting that most women should say to their
men. And what's that?
As soon as you come downstairs and you come to the breakfast table, she looks at you and she says, a sound sleep has made you even more beautiful. That's perfect. That works every time.
Mm-hmm. So,
you like that. The Sandman was good to you, my friend. What can I get you in your bowl?
So we went round and round.
Classic Bob.
Who says you need 8 hours?
Let me just tell you, it went from kitchen to computer room to bathroom to hallway to bathroom to bedroom.
Every corner of the ring.
To bathroom and only because... Here's her strategy, especially when I'm wound up like I was today.
Right.
When she has unfairly provoked me.
Mm-hmm.
Her strategy is, you know, she pokes the tiger, and then she runs, she says, but I don't want to discuss it now, because now you're too upset.
Yes.
You're too upset.
Pokes the tiger.
Classic move.
Yeah. Pokes the white tiger.
And then what happens is, yeah, you're right about that. I meant the white part. And that was for you, Rob. And the problem is, she knows how to play this game with me. She knows how to, like, bust my balls and then say, okay, that's it, I'm done with it. I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm standing in the hallway feeling like a dope, looking down at my pants to make sure that I still have male parts down there, mm-hmm. going, wait a minute. No, it's not over. I'm still mad.
That's right.
And then I go into the other room to find her, and it was yelling and screaming, and I think it's worked out now.
Good.
I think it's okay now.
Think?
We talked. We talked.
Where is she now?
She's at her mother's now.
that'll be good. It sounds like something right out of a sitcom. I'm going to mother's.
No, that was the plan.
Mother?
That was the plan. She's at her mother's now, and then later she'll be at our place.
Right.
But that was the plan,
mm-hmm.
and that was the day. And
have you spoken to her since this fight, outside of right now on the radio?
I talked to her on the way to work.
You did?
I talked to her on the way to work.
And everything is fine?
you know, here's how it goes with her. She picks up, hello, and I go, hi, and she goes, here's the tone. I am not kidding. I know I'm prone to exaggeration, but here it is. Hello? Hey, what's happening? Hi. You know, as if the way I perceive this is that, you know, this poor woman is driving it with the weight of the world's problems in the trunk of her car.
Right.
And I said, what's wrong? She says, nothing. Nothing's wrong at all. I said, well, you sound less than cheery.
Mm-hmm.
She says, this is just the way I sound. This is just, okay. You know.
Well,
and
they all do this.
Yeah, I know they do. It's just the way
worst
I am.
Worst is, how do you want me to sound?
That, oh, God, yes.
What would you like
frame
me to sound
that
like?
Yeah.
How would you like me to sound? Would that make you happier if I sounded happier?
God.
Would that be? I'm very happy. I'm perfectly content. I'm neither upset neither unhappy nor happy.
So everything,
I'm somewhere in the middle.
Everything is okay, I guess, because, you know. I didn't even mention at the end of the conversation, you know, normally I would have called back. I didn't. To me, it's important she misses these details. We get done arguing. We have a cordial talk. We talk about, you know, what movie we're going to, tomorrow's movie night, big decision, you know.
Oh, sir, everything's fine. You're talking about movies.
Yeah, but at the very end, then I said, okay, well, I'll talk to you later. She says, again, in that measured, okay. I said, okay, love you. And she says, bye-bye, and I'm waiting for the rebound I love you, which doesn't come back, and then I realize that I can't call her back now.
No,
I can't call her back now.
No, it's not coming your way.
Bad move.
The I love you will not be coming your way.
It just ain't coming. So it's a good time for togetherness. It's a good time.
Good times.
It's a good time for us to have our summer break.
It's off for vacation now.
It's off for vacation.
A little togetherness, that always does you good. Recently, vacations with you two have been very
good.
Nurturing for you.
They've been outstanding. I don't know what her problem was today. Mm-hmm. Frankly, I don't know what her problem was.
Great is you got the big fight out of the way before you have your vacation, so I doubt it'll creep into the vacation.
I hope so. Jesus Christ.
You hope it will?
No, I hope it doesn't. I mean, I hope you're right. I hope it doesn't creep into the vacation.
It'll be fine.
Although I'll tell you something, and I can't get into great detail,
mm-hmm.
but in my briefcase right now,
yeah.
Let me just say.
You have something important?
I do.
Something that applies to your vacation?
No, something that applies to one of my jobs.
Really?
Another one of the many jobs that I've screwed up. It was given to me by Buzz. It's a little piece of software I need.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah, you were very excited about it. Buzz,
I hope
he was
helps.
Super excited about
that. See this
that.
Right yeah. here?
Sorry yeah. I didn't get it to you sooner.
One of my issues involves computers and things on computers that I said I would handle, and oh, boy, won't she be surprised. Won't she be surprised? Because all I have to
do... It's very nice of Buzz to give you the be-your-own porn star software.
That's right.
This is a W for you, my friend.
So all you got to do is just punch his baby in, customer number, serial number,
type
and then
numbers, and away you go.
And then cool. you get the right person in the house, and you're making your movies before you can say, Lady Split.
It's what Paris Hilton used.
Mm-hmm.
So
same software.
It was good enough for her, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, but they've improved it. They've upgraded that software. The night photography is much clearer and much easier to see.
So anyway, that's what I got going on, and I guess that's a sign that I have a happy marriage because we don't argue all the time.
That's true.
Well, that's a good thing.
We don't argue all the time. I mean, she drives me nuts, and I'm sure vice versa. But today is one of the few days that we actually had, you know, the knockdown.
Maybe it's healthy. Maybe you got stuff out of both your systems, and you know, you can progress to the vacation now.
I only wish, you know, she'd play the game. If I'm going to call her Carmella, mm-hmm. call me Tony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're playing the game.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, I'm trying...
The whole tray?
I'm trying to have some fun with this thing, for God's sakes, and it just didn't happen.
Bada bing.
Anyway, that's that. And because of that, Mike, that's why my schedule was so screwed up today. I was not able to make it to Golfdom to see the Mike O'Mara Solo World Tour 2004.
Well, you would have seen a man who was, you know, like a head on a swivel.
Oh, hold on. One
looking
thing.
Throughout the store, looking for for his radio partner to show up and support him in his appearance.
I do have a reason that I wasn't there besides my wife.
What was that?
Although it's related to my wife. And this is, now this one is on me. This is maybe the dumbest thing that I've done outdoors. It's like something you would see Homer Simpson do, and I swear to Christ...
Off the deck?
This is true. No, no. It didn't involve anything coming out of or going into my body.
All right.
One of the many, many, many Mexican citizens that has got a tent in my backyard. One of the many guys back there doing work said to me a couple of days ago, hey, you got a wasp nest out there, and they're killing us. So last night I went out with the spray, because you're only supposed to do it at night. I went underneath the deck, and I saw there were like three or four wasp nests, right? So I...
Were they the little mud ones?
Yeah, did my duty, and they...
Was it mud, or was it the actual hive?
Now, hold on, I'm getting to this, because it was mud.
Okay.
And they immediately fell apart, and I thought, job done, you know, man over beast. Anyway, the guy calls up today and says, hey, we really want to come back and get our tools, but did you take care of those that nest?
Mm-hmm.
Because these bugs were bothering. I said, yeah, and I don't know why they were bothering you, because they're like not where you were working. And the guy said, oh, no. You're not even looking in the right place. The nest that we're talking about is by the stairwell. It's underneath one of the steps in the stairs right as you leave. So I said, oh, okay, no problem. I'll go down there. So I go down, and I'm in my backyard now, and by where the deck is, there are some stairs. And I look under there, and there, and now it's gray. It is
it's gray paper-like.
A big nest. It's a big one, about as big as a mini football.
Oh, right? Boy. Seen those.
So, now I know that you're only supposed to use the stuff at night, right? That's, you're supposed to spray it at night because they're less dangerous.
Right.
So I'm thinking, well, I don't have time for this. So I go out in my backyard, and I find, again, I'm just stupid, a big stick. A big, long, like 8 foot long.
Are you planning
stick.
To knock it down before you spray it?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm out of spray. I've used all the spray last
night.
Are
you going to beat them to death?
Well, here's all I thought I would do. It was just underneath the spot in the railing. I thought I'd just knock it out from, 8 feet away, and then, see what happens. Just try to dislodge it.
Right.
Well, here's the deal. And I'm, again, not kidding. I'm not saying this.
Bees!
Because I'm proud of this. I'm saying this because I am truly a moron. How could my wife expect me to do any job at my house when this is how I handle this situation?
So you're going
to
play Joe DiMaggio with the bee's nest.
I'm in the backyard. I'm underneath the stairs with the big stick, and I go, and I tap it, and nothing happens. I got to use a little more force.
Yeah.
I go, boom, and the bottom of it falls out, and I please God, strike me dead if I am not telling you the truth when I say 50 bees came out,
right.
And I was like a guy in a movie where I ran away, and as I am running away, I am taking my shirt off.
Bees!
And
they're ripping my flesh off.
And although, thank, I'm not allergic to them.
Yeah.
However, if you feel the bumps, anybody want to feel the bumps on my hands and my chest? That would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. My shoulder, 8, 9, 10. 11,
oh my
12,
wow.
And...
You're lucky you're not allergic.
13.
Did they get under your shirt?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And I was running like a retard in the backyard...
Help me!
Like running to get away from them, I realized...
Help me!
...that they're underneath my shirt.
Oh.
So as I'm running, I'm taking the t-shirt off over my head, and of course, because I'm such a finely conditioned athlete, I fall.
Oh, no.
So now I'm on the ground, and...
Did they attack you when you were on the ground?
Only the ones that were caught in my shirt.
Yeah, wow.
And I couldn't find the ones that were caught in my shirt.
Oh, God.
So anyway, I go back, and now with the force of a hose that's got the high pressure thing on the end of it, all I got to do is shoot down just a little bit of this last little nest.
Probably should have put smoke underneath it,
Mike.
That's what they do on the killer bee shows.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Smoke them out. I'm a dummy. I don't know
about
that.
They smoke them and then they spray them. Of the two confrontations you had today, which, if you could do away with one of them, which one would you skip?
Your wife or killer bees? The one with my wife.
Yeah.
So I go back and I.
You said you would have done away with the one, so you would have taken the bee stings?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, because those only hurt for a couple of minutes.
Sure.
So I go through with the thing, I get the whole thing done.
But you are spraying with water?
Well, because there's only a little bit of it left.
Okay.
I get the rest with the water, although there's still tons of bees around there. But still, I rescue the guy's tools. I come inside. I've done another job that my wife has asked me to do, yet look at me. I am covered in bee and
covered with hideous bee stings.
Wounded. And when I came in, they were those funny kind of stings where your skin puffs up like a little lifesaver almost.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way all bee stings look like.
Yeah, well, I've not had it, Mike.
It's a welt, what it is. It's a welt. It's almost like a hive with a red dot in the middle of it.
As you know, I try not to leave my home. I like being inside with the windows closed.
And this is why.
I believe we've already covered this.
Well, look what happens when you go outside. You're attacked by killer bees.
Right. So I come in and I say to her, well, that thing with the wasps is done, but take a look at this. Huh? Jesus, God, am I stupid.
Brave man.
About 50 of them. And I'm thinking at that point, she's got a crack. At that point, she's got a crack.
For her wounded husband.
You know what she said to me?
What?
She said, I think there's some Benadryl upstairs. Maybe you should get some Benadryl, because some people flip out and have bad reactions to that.
Oh, God.
Have you seen that box of wine I'm bringing to the beach? La la.
Your eyes seem to be closing.
La la.
Put a little ice on them.
La la.
You having trouble breathing? Is your breathing labored?
However, the last thing I'll tell you about this, and keep in mind, I'm not going to have 2 weeks to tell you guys this, so I'm getting it all out today. I just do want to say this. I was right about the cat box. Thank you. Thank
you. It didn't work.
Today, she begrudgingly said, well, I'm moving the cat box and the food and the water back upstairs where they used to be.
Upstairs so the cat doesn't protest anymore.
Yes, and I didn't even ask why. Because if I asked why, why are you moving? You know why? Because you were wrong.
Good.
How's the guy do that? You're wrong.
John McLaughlin.
You're wrong.
You're wrong. Frida could not be sweeter.
You're wrong. So that was the only battle that I won today, the fact that the cat box is back upstairs. And and that's it. That's all I've got. I could really leave right now.
Football, black and white, where are you going to sleep tonight?
I could just go to the office, take a nap now.
You should, Robbie, really, Robbie.
And drive home.
Donny Poo! Where are you? John McLaughlin.
Well, you know. Now that I've gotten that out of the way.
Do you feel purged now? Do you feel completely purged?
Yeah. Good. Yes, I do. That's a great thing about having a radio show.
You can come in here, you can get it out of your system.
Mm-hmm. God damn. Why do they do that to you? You're just not even looking for it.
That's right.
Just come downstairs.
Well, you know what it is? It's that morning thing, too. I mean, you're fresh out of the sack. That's not when you want to ambush somebody. No.
You sit down and say, hi, good morning. Well, I guess that job's not getting done. What was that? Oh, that was a 2 by. Oh, you just hit me with it again.
And you're saying that she got up about 2 hours earlier than you did?
Yeah, about 5 a.m.
She might have waken up perfectly lovey-dovey about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a friend says something, and then something got into her mind, and then it just got snowballed. Yeah. And then by the time you walk downstairs, it's like,
well, you didn't do anything. Here's what I think it is sometimes with her. Maybe they're all like this. Mm-hmm. She sits there and tries to think of something that I'm screwing up. And fortunately, right now, I'm doing okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not a lot of bad check marks in my report card.
Good for you.
So I'm sure she sits there and thinks, now what can I bust his balls about when
something.
He comes down? Oh yeah, hold on, wait a minute. He didn't do that job that I asked him to do.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that'll be it. What are you doing with your balloon?
I was trying to get the helium out of it. I would make funny voices.
Yeah. And who gave you the balloon?
Is it KCJJ?
Our station in Iowa City?
There you go.
Yeah, you bet they have trade. They send us flowers for
everything.
The smallest.
That's very nice. Thank you, KCJ.
But they sent Mike a very nice bouquet for his birthday, which is next week.
Yes, very nice. Thank you, Rob. I'm sorry this is taking so long.
No problem.
I'm just trying to cut the helium now.
No problem. Don't worry about time.
Oh, dear.
Now it's floating away. Now you've lost the helium.
Yeah.
The helium balloon is on the ceiling.
Tall Rob.
Tall Rob. Rob's got it. Okay, here you go. Almost birthday boy.
All right, wait a minute.
Let it roll.
Jeez,
what are you doing?
Well, it's like sealed right to the end.
Right. Don't they know that people just want to inhale these balloons? What are they talking about?
He's doing it.
I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what the deal is with these bastards with the balloons. Hello, everyone. Honey, I'm home. Have you done that project that I asked you to do? Have you? Have you?
You would kill me.
What's wrong with you, slacker? Slacker boy. They say it's your birthday, but what is that to you? Hi, Diamond. I'm Bert the Rat Boy. Okay, I'm feeling dizzy now. Rob, would you like there? There's still some in there.
Come on now, just one.
Come on.
Give a good one.
Just take one.
Give a good
Rob.
One. There it goes. It's starting to leave me.
Get, where's the hole?
Oh, you said that enough times.
We'll have to isolate that.
Yeah. This is going to make Rob's voice higher.
Summertime, and the living is easy.
Fantasia.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah,
are you all right?
You got a little woozy.
That scares me a little bit.
Rob actually collapsed in a chair.
He did. Helium's never made me dizzy.
Really?
No.
Nothing makes buzz.
And you know, if you suck the gas out of a whipped cream can, it actually makes your voice lower.
Really? Happy birthday, Mr.
President.
Rob. Oh, my God.
Okay, bear with us, everybody. My part of ranting is done.
Very good.
When we come back, what was it like for Mike doing a solo personal appearance today?
Can I give you a word? I know we don't have time to talk about the whole thing right now, but I'll give you a word.
Yes.
Heaven.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen to the kids instead of my big dumb wife. Oh, I shouldn't have called her that. Bite my tongue, bite my tongue. Ow!
The Don and Mike Show.
Not yet available on DVD. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Right, 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 right. Grandpa. Michael.
Yeah?
Michael.
I'm here. I'm queer. I'm not going skiing.
I know you live to entertain. You love meeting our listeners.
I do.
You love meeting them one-on-one. You love hugging them, touching them, autographing things for them.
Not one hug.
Not one hug.
Wow.
Is it because you went unasked or because it was
unspoken? No, but I want to thank Jag for suggesting it.
Jag works here. He's the promotions guy. Haji. Uh-huh.
Jag brought it up like right towards the end of the appearance, too. Are you going to hug anybody?
Hey, good for you, Jag.
I was like, hey, thank you, Jag.
He's all about fun.
He's a buddy.
Yeah, he's a pal.
For
the golf tournament.
Buddy Jag.
Anyway, but no, it was...
the appearance that you did by yourself.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Big thanks go out to Michelle Combs, who was there waiting for me, and the people at Hard Times Chili.
Michelle's the sales lady.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, what kind of show...
I had a chili dog before the thing even got underway. Ooh. I got there about maybe 7 minutes before.
What was your presentation?
I was early, which really, even for you young broadcasters, if you're going to do an appearance, get there early. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the merchant values that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you show up early, if you show up late, you're showing disrespect. Don't laugh. This isn't funny.
No.
You show the merchant respect
mm-hmm.
by showing up, not just being punctual, but being a few moments early.
That's right. Really? But when are you going to apply that here?
Touche.
Is it also considered appropriate to stay a moment or two past the end of the appearance?
Now, that would be foolish. And I would be not telling the truth if I didn't indicate to Michelle that because of my 5 minute early arrival, that perhaps that would account for a 5 minute early departure time.
And what did Puffy say about that?
She was fine. Everybody was very, very relaxed.
Good.
I guess the big wig who I shook hands with at Golfdom was off to a golf tournament right at the beginning, so he didn't hang around. But John, the other big wig that was there, was very, very nice. And the very first thing I went and did, look what we done did, is that I went...
No, you didn't.
I went and I looked for a golf shirt for you guys. And not you a golf shirt, but a Tommy Bahama
shirt.
You got
us two beautiful shirts.
And you know what? Here's the joke. Michelle would be in on this. This is what I really wanted to do.
What?
Because there was your size and your size.
You wanted matching shirts?
Same shirt. I came so close. But you know what? I said no. I said no. That would just be a gag. And you guys... You know, it would be funny one day.
We both had the same shirt on.
I took them and they were different sizes, and I held them up and I said, "This would be great for Don and Rob to come in wearing the same shirts." But if I was going to do that, and I still hold out the fact that I might do that
someday
at some later date, but I'd get the whole outfit. I get an entire matching outfit, like shirt and
cabana shorts as well.
Like the exact, not necessarily cabana shorts, but just exact outfits, right down to the shoes.
And if you did that, don't you think it would be good for you and Buzz as well?
No, that's not the gag. That's not the joke.
How about we do that on July Never? Does that date work for you?
That would be fine. right up before, oh, also before I came walking in, a lady came up with a birthday card, and oh. I was very, very flattered, and
there
very,
you go.
And I got a couple of birthday cards from people, including one that had a very nice, note in it, that was, like,
erotic?
No, it was not erotic.
No?
Dearest not Mike. Erotic. Everybody was so nice. You know, it makes me realize how old I am, that so many people have listened to us for such a long time, and it was really a fun experience, because there was no Tom Gavin. There was no Dennis Murphy.
Oh, none of the good stuff.
It was there was no hugging. There was not a BO contest. But there were just a lot of people there. And it was just enough people where it was kind of low-key and a nice little chat-a-thon. And, you know, when we did this thing, I didn't want to sit behind a table or sit next to the chili, even though, I have my picture taken with the chili.
Oh, good.
And I had a couple of
pictures. Why did you have your picture taken with the chili?
Because they gave me a free, well, they were all free, the chili dogs right. out there, and and I had a chili dog, and then had my picture taken with the Hard Times Chili guy in front of the Hard Times Chili sign, taken by Michelle. And Michelle almost did one of my old Uncle Bill Sheehan camera things where it's like, okay. I thought she was going to do that 20-minute picture taking, which in the age of the digital camera doesn't happen as often.
Right, because you get it, taking you see it right away.
Yeah, a little bit easier than it was.
So, Mike, who was your favorite money fan that you met?
I think a guy that wrote a very kind note in a birthday card, and it was very, very kind. I mean, one of the kindest, nicest things ever written. And it was very, very nice.
Tell me about
that. And I also liked it was a very attractive woman that gave me the birthday card outside.
Hey.
But then the high point, and I hope you brought this down. I hope you brought the letter down. You didn't leave it in the office.
Oh, no, I've got it. No,
the high point, and I want you to read that letter.
I will read it. I'm fixated. Give me a moment, please, on the woman that gave you a gift in the parking lot.
I can't lie, and it's not as good as it sounds because she seemed to be accompanied by a man.
That's never stopped a woman before in pursuit of a dream man.
Mm-hmm. This is true, but
she could be with one and be throwing off those pheromones for another.
Or, it could be the three of us with a glorious afternoon of three women. That could happen, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure could.
But really, at the end of the appearance, when I was sitting there getting my stuff together, getting your shirts, and I bought myself a golf bag, an old friend of the show came by, Scott the Dwarf.
Right. No.
I saw him from the distance coming in, and I did the little thing where I pretended to, which I used to do here at the radio station, which I always thought was a great gag. I pretended to walk over him. Like, walk over him just like a tank, like one of Rommel's panzers going over an infantryman, and then, he's like, hey, get out of here. And then, we chatted, and,
put him in your golf bag?
I didn't put him in the golf bag. But he gave me a copy of the movie Zoolander.
Oh.
And he's in it. He is in Zoolander.
Right, he's right? maintained. He's in Zoolander.
I've seen him.
Yeah.
Is he featured in
Absolutely.
Zoolander?
Absolutely, yes.
Really?
Yeah, watch it.
In the credits, I think he might be mentioned as, like, Scotty F-Word.
Oh, really? Oh, that's his
I know the Little
name.
Kings are mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So the Little Kings aren't together anymore, and we were talking about that with Scott. But then Scott said, please make sure you give this to Don.
And I have it.
And he gave a letter to Don, and he said, I want Don to read this letter.
I'd be glad to. Scott is a good friend. I've not pre-read the letter. Mike said I should read it on the air.
Very good.
Excellent. Starts with, I know where this is going. Okay. The American Heritage Dictionary, 4th edition.
Oh, dear.
Midget. Offensive. An extremely little person who was of proportionate stature. A small or miniature version of something. A class of small objects, a class of very small sailboats or racing cars. Note, we are first and foremost human beings. It is secondary that we are human beings who are of restricted growth. Use of the word midget to describe someone of short stature is considered extremely offensive by some people. It's better to refer to people of short stature as little people or dwarf.
Uh-huh.
If people find the term dwarf equally offensive as midget, people both average and short should place their humanity before anything else. This is all pre-written. It's like out of a dictionary.
Okay.
And then the private note, it has like ignorance and prejudice. And then it says, Don, no disrespect to the Orientals, but don't Jap me. We are dwarves. Love you, Scott the Dwarf.
All right, Scott.
Excellent.
There you go, Scotty.
Scott, if you're listening today, if you're up on a box, got your ear by a speaker, I promise I'll try to take the M word out of my repertoire.
I didn't get to the part with the handwritten note.
Yes.
No disrespect to the Orientals.
Don't jap me.
We are dwarves. He's, you know, he's legit about that. He feels strongly about that.
He's had that issue for a long time. All right,
but
Scott.
The amazing thing was,
what?
As he was walking away, and so it's funny that you're talking to him, because as he was walking away, I hit him on top of the head, and he turned into 50 gold coins.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two.
Well, now, hold on, Mike. I don't want to speak out of school, but I believe Patton Oswalt, who had that on his comedy album, said, if you hit a midget on the head.
Yeah, Patton did
use the word. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, you have a club?
Howard Stern on your way. Don and Mike on your way home.
No, that's not it.
Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well. And Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call jap plays.
All right, sorry about that, Scott. And that's funny, Don. No disrespect to the Orientals. Right? Don't jap me. We are dwarfs.
Here are some facts about midgets a lot of you probably don't know. I read this in Discover Magazine. Don't dispute me. If you hit a midget on the head with a stick, he turns into 40 gold coins. You know that?
40.
40. Oh. The great Patton Oswalt.
There it is.
Mike, get ready for a reunion.
Hey.
Mike, here is Nicole.
Nicole.
Do you know who Nicole is?
No.
She's the girl who gave you a card.
The card in the red envelope?
Hello?
Nicole?
Yes?
The card in the red envelope?
It's the one that said Go Sox.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Thank you.
Is this the girl who was there with the guy?
Yes, but he was just a coworker.
Oh!
Hold on.
We had good and bad news.
Yeah. What was the bad news? I just heard the coworker part.
She's married.
I am married.
Oh, Nicole.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, you were the very first person.
I was. You were the first people there. And I have to correct you. You did give me a hug.
Oh, I did give you a hug.
You did give me a hug.
Yeah.
So there were hugs.
I initiated. I said, how about a hug?
You did.
Tiger.
And I hugged back.
Yeah, you did.
You know why, Nicole?
You made my day, Nicole.
You know why?
Thank you.
You're married, but you're not dead. Right? Am I right or am I right?
You're right.
So how great.
Am I right?
How that's what I was going for.
Am I right?
Phil? So, what was it like having chili with Mike?
Oh.
I didn't have any chili, but it was very nice meeting Mike.
Yeah, so she
was very pleasant.
You arrived right after I'd wolfed down that chili dog. I apologize if I had any chili breath.
I think you were fine.
I hope I didn't have any.
But we wanted to talk to Mike longer, but there was sort of a guy standing there lurking, so we had to leave.
Yeah.
One of Mike's gay fans?
I don't know, but he was very happy to see him.
I hope he was.
Mike's very well received in the gay community.
I am indeed. I think they know. They know me, and they know how open my mind is.
Yep. But Mike was very happy to get the card. He had a tear in his eye.
I did. I was wearing sunglasses at the time because we were outside at that time. It was right before I went into the store. The retail outlet to walk around, and it was just very nice to get that card from you. And I can't even talk about it now without clouding up.
All right, Nicole, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Nicole.
Bye bye.
Good luck with your marriage.
Thank you.
And hey, Nicole.
Yes.
Does your husband favor an open marriage?
No, I'm sorry, he doesn't. But he did encourage me to go meet Mike.
Ah.
And I called him afterwards and said I got a hug, and he said, of course you did.
Yes. And how would you rate the experience on a scale of 1 to 10, Nicole?
11.
There you go, baby.
11.
Bam. Off right back at you.
Sounds to me like there's a chance you could be a bonesman.
Yeah. Well, we'll tell her all about the initiation right at the next in-store.
Okay. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, baby.
So, hey, look at you, Tiger.
Hey,
you did okay, huh?
Yeah, you think golf store, you think guys, you think lunch break. Pretty ladies all over the place.
Hello there, Don.
Beautiful babe.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, you guys forgot. Friday's here. Time to have a beer.
Oh, thank you for the reminder.
And since this guy didn't have it exactly right, you can call Joe and get the right saying.
And you're going to get a prize for the reminder. What's your name?
My name's Mark.
Mark, where are you from?
Toronto, Canada.
From Toronto, Canada. Okay, but hey, come on.
Am I still prize worthy?
Yeah, sure. You've got the HBO Curb Your Enthusiasm second season box DVD set, courtesy from HBO Video. But wait, you've also got the exclusive Don and Mike logoed sleeve of Pro V1 golf balls, courtesy of Golfdom. That's where Mike was today.
Right.
Wow.
Thank you for listening.
Can I ask you guys something?
Sure.
Can I get the franchise rights to the Yank It stores in Canada?
Yank It.
Oh, no. Come on.
Going back to Yank It. Yank It is in the past.
Well, they're Canadians. They're behind. Just a little behind.
We are very behind.
No golf balls for you.
Oh, see, you blew it.
You just watch it. Just say thank you, and you still get the HBO box set.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. All right. There you go. And thank you for the tip.
He gets the box set from Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David, noted Canadian.
It's not golf balls he's after. It's world domination.
Joe?
Yes.
Yeah, let's hear it, Joe.
The weekend is here. Have a can of beer.
There you go.
That's worth it.
It's a Michael F. and Joe Arndt.
Sorry, I kind of had the mixing of the two there.
It's official now.
What the hell was that?
Michael Elston, Joe
Arndt. You actually ought to hit it right. Michael Elston as...
I've tried. It's hard to...
It's tricky.
Michael Elston as Joe
Arndt. You're the master.
Perfect. Not at that time.
Perfect.
Not at that time.
Michael Elston as Michael
Mara.
Playing
all the roles.
Fun.
Michael Elston as Michael Source.
You can do a lot of them. All right, thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bacardi Limon.
Right, thank you. Anthony Diggs.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're up on a break. Oh, when we come back, here's BA's guest today.
Ooh.
Now, she really has been pining for this guy.
Okay.
I agree he's a good guest on the show. If you've ever seen the Jerry Seinfeld DVD called Comedian, okay? The guy's name is...
Do I make you horny?
Orny Adams.
Orny Adams,
and
yes.
We've watched the DVD, the movie, Jerry Seinfeld's movie. It's a documentary.
Documentary.
No, Buzz, excuse me. It's a documentary.
I'm Dennis. You can just say you're Dennis Owens and get away with it.
It's a documentary.
A documentary.
And the movie.
To a nature car.
All right. The movie.
Documentary. And if you say it like a pompous ass.
You can get away with it.
Get away with it.
Yeah.
Documentary.
You can't do it when you're stupid like me.
Donate.
I'm sure someone will call me again today. You know, Kid Rock was singing God Bless America, not the national anthem.
Donate your car.
Document that for me, my friend.
Documentary.
Anyway, B.A. Beth Ann is in love with the guy. I mean,
really?
Hey, B.A.
Hey.
Not in love with him, but she is truly a fan of this guy. And if you've ever seen the movie Comedian or the DVD with Jerry Seinfeld, here's the plot.
Okay.
It follows around Jerry after the TV show's gone off the air, and he's going to do stand-up. And he's nervous, and he's trying out material he's never done before. And it shows the good side and the bad side to Jerry Seinfeld.
All right.
And conversely, while this is going on, they're also taping an up-and-coming young comedian named Orny Adams, who's going to go be at some comedy festival in Montreal.
Who's featured on the documentary with Gerald Seinfeld as a comedian.
And he did not strike you as terribly funny.
It's not that he wasn't funny, it's that he's so neurotic.
And his attitude, let me just say, it's the way that you would expect Jerry Seinfeld to act. He has all of the I'm a star pompous ass personality traits that you would expect from Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
And listen, I don't want to be here defending Jerry Seinfeld because we played his tapes long. We know where his head is, right up his butt. But for instance, before a show, you see Jerry Seinfeld sweating it out, going, am I good enough? Do I know these jokes? Is this going to kill tonight? What if I die tonight? What if I don't have a good show? What if they don't like what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, this guy is backstage going, as soon as I kill in this comedy set, it's going to be off to Hollywood, and I got a big TV contract waiting for me, because this is the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where he's What is the scene? He's laying on the ground with the
cell phone? He's outside the comedy club, and he's lying out there. He's neurotic is what
he's
he is.
He's confident.
Well, he's confident, but he's not. I mean, what he is all he's talking about. And, you know, there's one point in the documentary where that guy comes back with his manager to the dressing room, and he disses the guy, and he says, you should just shut up and do your comedy and say thank you instead of always obsessing about what the next step is going to be and whether you're going to go to L.A. And that's all the guy is talking about.
He wants to go to Los Angeles.
All the time he's talking about this and that this is going to do it. Oh, I'm so neurotic. I'm so... And you're ready to kill the guy by the end of the documentary.
And the way the documentary was set up, I'm guessing, was that you would get Jerry Seinfeld and maybe see the good and the bad with, you know, arguably the best-known stand-up comedian of the 90s against a young up-and-comer. And what happens is it makes you respect Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, and I want to ask this guy if he feels used by Seinfeld, because he comes out like a total dink in this documentary. I mean,
in the editing.
That's a strong word.
There is, but there's nothing. There's nothing you like about the guy in this documentary.
Beth Ann, what do you like? I don't know.
I just think he's. I think he's kind of quirky, a little different. I think he's really smart, and
He's really smart.
I don't know why I really.
Hey, you know what? There's not enough of his material in this documentary to formulate a solid opinion. But there's plenty of material to formulate an opinion on his personality.
Yeah.
I've seen his stand-up.
Well, you are deranged.
But in fairness, you think dink is a harsh word.
I thought it was quite harsh.
All right, darling. Well, he's in the next break, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. We'll call him in a second.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, B.A. There she goes.
And maybe something doubtful has popped for the guy.
Well, now this is going to be the question.
Since somebody gets me, how long has it been since that documentary was made? It was 3 years?
I think it was just last summer that Frida and I rented it, and maybe it had been out
for a year or two.
For a year or something like before that. Should have been this guy, if he had any type of scary talent, should have been his breakthrough moment.
Did you watch the added materials on the DVD?
Yes, I did.
Where they show him with long hair?
Yes, I did.
It was like his little efficiency apartment?
Just when you get done watching it, and you think the guy's just a total ass, they go to some, what happened after the filming of this, and behind the scenes deleted stuff.
Hadn't he gotten a talent development deal with...
Yes, he did, with
WB.
And it dried up, and at the end of the movie, he's living in a one-room apartment.
Isn't he going back to New York?
In Hollywood. I think he's just about to give up on the dream.
You don't know. That's really what I'm fascinated about with this interview.
He's just about to give up on the dream, but the way he's still talking to the camera is still, hey, this is going to work out for me because I'm talented. I'm funny. You can't take that away from me. I just know what's going on. I've got what it takes.
No, I think you paint a picture of him as way more confident than he is. He is much more filled with self-doubt in this. And I just got done watching.
But on the other hand, while he is filled with self-doubt, you can't disagree that when he's talking to other people, he puts on that front of
to like his manager, he does.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of time with him and that old manager.
Who is Jerry Seinfeld's manager?
Uh-huh. Yeah, which is where he thinks he's really hit the gold mine.
Right.
When he gets hooked up with Jerry Seinfeld's manager.
And don't you get from the documentary also that the manager, well, the manager's hard to read, but the manager really doesn't, like when the manager's trying to watch the Lakers game, remember? Yeah. And he just gets annoyed with him?
Yeah.
Because Orny is just babbling about his career.
Hey, Brad, have you seen this thing, comedian, this guy Orny Adams?
I have seen it, and also a friend of mine was working at the Tropicana in Atlantic City, and Orny came in to headline it, and he lasted one night, and Kephart, the owner, kicked him out because he sucked so bad.
Oh, my God.
How long ago was that after the movie had come out?
It was not too long after the movie. I do a stand-up comedy, too, and I love this.
All right, see you later. Bye-bye. So we'll talk to the guy who was at least successful enough to get in the Jerry Seinfeld movie rather than the guy that's just calling to badmouth him because he's a struggling comedian, too.
You know, and really what little they show of his material, let me just say I'm not going to call it a home run. You know, it's really not
that
strong.
Here's what I thought. You know that guy on the Jerry Seinfeld show? You know the guy that, the character, the other comedian that Jerry hates? And he's always saying, Jerry, that's gold, that's gold. And like when Jerry writes him a monologue and he says, why do they call it Ovaltine when it comes in a round jar? I mean, that's right. Like Orny Adams type material, in my humble opinion.
Okay. Yeah, it's very disturbing.
My humble opinion.
But obviously, if he's coming on our show, the dream must still be alive.
It must. Well, we'll see what we can do to put out those flames.
Bring him on.
When we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child. And the child will ask for things that they shouldn't be given.
Yes, Jerry.
Because it'll make them ultimately less happy. Right. It'll be a better feeling for them.
Right.
They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right, Jerry?
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike. A stellar job today, I might add.
Yeah. Thank you, Doug. Oh, here's our announcer, Dude Walker.
They respectfully decline. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Okay, Beth Ann, we're ready for Orny
Adams.
Orny Adams. When I saw this movie, like I said, last summer, I think it was, we saw it.
Is that Orny?
I bet it is. Robbie, would you double check? Orny?
No.
No, it's not Orny?
Hang on a sec.
Who is it?
Beth Ann for you guys.
Oh, it's Beth Ann.
Ah.
It's not Orny. It's Beth Ann. Hey, B.A.
Hey, the dink hasn't called yet.
Oh, now he's the dink.
He's the Messiah now.
Yeah. Now, he would be late. I know I'm running late, but you know I always run late.
Yeah.
But he's late for the scheduled late time, right?
10 minutes late.
Well, you know, maybe he got wind of it. Maybe he got wind of the way we were talking about
it. I emailed him at 4, and I emailed him this morning, and I got an email from him this morning. Got it. I'll be calling. Gave him the number a million times. Emailed him a million times.
A million times. Well, there he is, letting you down like he let all, like he let all of us down.
Yeah, like he let himself down. That's terrible. You know, I was really, I wanted to get into
maybe
his
he'll
head.
Call back. No. We'll give him a couple seconds to call
I'm
back.
Just fascinated because I want to know how he feels the documentary, you know, did for him, because I really think it made him look bad, and I wonder if that helped or hurt or what.
Do you think maybe his phone got turned off?
It's 420.
He doesn't have a phone, Rob.
Oh.
He has a computer because he emailed me.
Hold on a second. Why are you so obsessed with this?
No, I can't answer that question.
Don't you know from day one that she's gotten here?
Hasn't this been like the guest she wanted to put on the show?
Yes, and Beth Ann has done a spectacular job. Mm-hmm. She's a great
phenomenal
producer.
Job. Absolutely.
She's great. Wonderful. A hard worker. She everything you want. She thinks about the show 24/7.
It's great.
The only possible. Well, no, there's two things. First, she wears Christmas sweaters in July.
Well, you know, I wish you would tell people, you have painted me as this person that walks around with this red and green t-shirt or sweatshirt with little, like...
Well, no,
I was white, but it had sequin antlers on it.
Mm-hmm. But it was pink. I mean, if you didn't really look...
No, it's a Christmas shirt, though.
But you really had to look.
No, you didn't really
no,
have to look.
No, I could see from a country mile that it was a Christmas shirt.
No, you didn't have to. And as a matter of fact, about shirts,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
because I am a faggot, sometimes I watch The View. And I love the young dumb one, the one that was on Survivor.
Oh yeah, the blonde,
the new Colleen. One. No, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, the one who's married to
the quarterback.
The quarterback, right? So those cows all come out today. No offense, BA. The cows, because you're a woman. The cows, they all come out, and she comes out, and I mean to tell you, this Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Uh-huh.
Is she put together today?
Looking
she got
good.
Her hair frizzed up. She got some nice glasses on, and she's got a real tight little shirt on.
Mm.
And right over her breast part, it says, "What are you looking at?"
Ah!
Right away, all those cows on that show—they they hated that. Like, what's up with wearing that shirt, Elizabeth? And you know, Barbara Walters, who incidentally, I think has got. A hell of a body for an 80-year-old woman. I think she's hiding something underneath all those sweaters.
Really?
Yeah. She,
and she put together with twine now, though?
Yeah, but, I mean, maybe from the neck up, but I think, like, from the neck to the belly button, she might be for an 80-year-old broad.
To be that twine. For an 80, listen to what you're saying. For an 80-year-old broad.
She's relatively well put together.
Well, you're seeing her with clothing.
Yeah, and I'm
not in his mind.
I think if you got that, if you got her out of that clothing, it would be like opening an overstuffed lunchbox.
Well, I don't know.
Things would fall out all over the place.
See, that's the great thing. That's the thing. Maybe they would. Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they would stand up. I don't know. Listen,
I can't believe you got the hots for Barbara Walters.
Oh no, I really got the hots for Elizabeth Hasselbeck. And yeah. It's just I would like to see Barbara Walters wear a shirt like Elizabeth Hasselbeck wore today.
Okay.
And the fact that Elizabeth Hasselbeck wore a shirt that said, "What are you looking at?" reminded me. When B.A. wears a shirt, when Beth Ann wears a shirt mm-hmm. that has a reindeer with sequin antlers on it,
right.
How can you not look at it? It's a Christmas shirt that you're wearing in June.
But that's it. Other than that, I mean, the obsession,
yeah.
The stalking obsession with Orny Adams and the Christmas shirt, she's done.
She's perfect.
A phenomenal perfect. Job.
Why is it you love this guy, Orny Adams, so much, though?
I think he is an ass. He was a jerk even, you know, when he was doing his stand-up, and it just drew me right in.
He likes that.
I punched him all the more.
And now he's been a real ass to you because now he screwed you up in your job.
I know. Well, yeah.
So let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Well, I always hold out.
Money has not been there for me. You're right.
Does that make him more attractive to you now, the fact that he's let you down personally?
Probably.
And yeah, I think I hold out the possibility that he may have gotten wind of comments we've made about him, which haven't been all that favorable, and he might have bagged the interview.
He doesn't strike me as a person that would do that.
I respectfully disagree because mm-hmm. I think other than the couple of times that we've been talking about him leading up to this
on
show of his, I believe those were the only voices in America that were speaking his name.
I think you're probably right.
I don't think that there's a gigantic groundswell.
He struck me as a lot of things. Inconsiderate, like me,
mm-hmm.
was not one of them. No. I would think that he would remember.
Now, Mike, you're not inconsiderate. You're thoughtless.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
I would think that he would know... To call the show. Beth, you got to be surprised at this, right?
Is this the number he would call on, or the one I'm on?
But now, darling, may I explain to you how the radio station works? That there are about 58 lines up front that if he happened to call, they would find another line besides this one. But if it'll make you feel better, go ahead and hang up and just look at the phone. I do that sometimes. Just look at the phone and go, ring. Come on, ring. Give it a try.
Okay.
All right, horny for horny.
Horny for horny.
There she is.
That's a T-shirt. Now get that on the Christmas.
They love the bad boy.
All right.
So what happened with the Hasselbeck girl on The View? Did they attack her or what happened? Because I interrupted you.
Did what they always do on The View. They just tell her to shut up. The cows, and they were all there today. All the other four cows were there.
All the cows.
They just tell her to shut up. You know, and now not that she's the brightest bulb on the string.
Right.
But every once in a while, because she is, as they call her, the young one,
mm-hmm.
when she says something that makes sense to me, I'm a man watching a woman's show,
right.
She says something that makes a little sense. It didn't have to be anything about men versus women.
Right.
She just says something like, well, gosh, I wonder why we were in Iraq in the first place.
Right.
No one's really showed us. Man, the other four just turn on her, and good luck to that broad getting one word in edgewise
right.
for the rest of the show.
Wow.
Here's the only time they ever want to talk to Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Aren't those beautiful shoes? Elizabeth, look at the shoes that whatever the guest has on.
They treat her like a little baby.
Yes, they do.
Wow.
That sucks.
They do. They do. And then you've got, you know, Star Jones. And I've been to the website. I've seen the website where they allege that Star Jones' fiance is half a fag.
Right.
That he used to have that life. And that now he's discovered.
He's cured.
The beauty. Yeah, Star Jones cured him.
He's been cured.
Yeah. I think that's Elizabeth is the third person in that young girl role on The View, and they've always treated the person as an idiot there.
And here's why they also treat her bad. They love reminding her of this. That she got the job because she was on Survivor.
Right.
Oh,
that
ouch.
Because she came from reality TV, she doesn't have a real background.
Wouldn't
in
you say, I would say seriously, she was the cutest contestant ever on Survivor?
She's definitely cuter than the one that was in that movie with Rob Schneider.
I believe mm-hmm. so.
Colleen, the girl that we had on the show a couple of times.
The girl was supposed to come on our show again and never, remember?
Yeah, well, I remember.
You went away.
I remember when she called up
right when the first Survivor was going off, or the set, whatever the one she was on, Colleen was on, she called up and said, oh, I miss you guys. I used to live out there. I love you. I'll call you.
That.
And then she got the deal to make the movie with Rob Schneider, and she never called again.
Yeah, she was in The Animal. It was a horrible movie.
Well, yeah, and I think really when you do a movie with Rob Schneider, it can be somewhat traumatizing.
All right, well, listen.
Who else was cute was Jenna from the first season, but only when she lost all the weight.
Yes. Yeah.
She got off the island, she puffed up, and nothing.
And, of course, Amber.
Amber.
I like Amber.
Amber. You know, we didn't go with the jokes at the beginning of the show today.
That's right.
Here's one, though. Mike, now listen, not bad.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Shannon.
Hello. Hi, Mike.
Hi. How are you?
What's the definition of eternal love?
What?
Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder playing tennis.
That's a blind joke.
Yeah, I know, and I know that one of them is dead, but still.
Right. The score.
That's the best we have.
Eternally lost.
there it is. Larry Hagman. Larry Hagman.
Still absorbing that.
Mike?
Just hearing Larry Hagman sometimes makes you want to spray your beverage through your nasal passages.
I don't want, I'm not.
Hey, Jeannie.
I'm not going to get into any personal areas here.
No.
About health.
Hello, Jeannie.
But let me just say, Larry Hagman, as you know, has a liver.
Yeah.
He has a liver that someone has donated to him.
Yeah.
He lost a liver, and he got another one, and he said,
right.
That's it for me. I'm done drinking.
Good for him.
Larry Hagman. No, not you, but. Don't call me a bastard. This is a real story.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
This is a real story.
All right, go ahead.
Here's the quote. He doesn't like taking pills to help his liver problem with the brand new liver that he got in 1995.
How about taking those pills, Jeannie?
Here's his quote. Pills are easy.
Yeah.
I like champagne.
Yeah, that was champagne. That's good.
Champagne is exuberant and bubbly, and it will destroy my new liver. Sure, it's uncool for Larry Hagman to be so nonchalant about abusing an organ that he was given by a donor. However,
so he's still drinking?
He says they could have gone to someone.
Did you say just champagne?
Larry Hagman has said, listen, they could have gone to someone a little more responsible to give them this liver.
Wow.
God. That has got to piss a lot of people off,
I would imagine.
If Larry Hagman continues to drink
and
ruins his second liver, remember now he's got a free one. He's already gotten a free one.
That's right.
He says, don't bother putting him on the list. Don't bother.
That's fair.
He's 72. He doesn't want to deprive somebody of a liver just because he's greedy.
Right.
And
so what he's saying is he's enjoying his champagne and not taking the pills. And, Jeannie, I'm going to wreck this one, too.
Champagne is what he drank all through Dallas.
That was his beverage of choice?
Wow. Champagne and orange
Finally,
juice.
Hold on.
Huh.
Why isn't Larry Hagman afraid of dying? Why would he, other than just stupidity, why would a guy get a liver after he's already ruined one and he can't drink?
Well, hasn't he had this one for a long time?
He's had it since 1995.
Well, why isn't he afraid of dying?
Because he's taken acid.
Oh. Hey, Jeannie. I'm an orange. Jeannie, I'm going to feel myself.
Now, Mike, I know you. You like it when they are direct quotes, when it's not something like a friend says.
Right, yes, exactly.
From the Los Angeles Times. Quote from Larry Hagman.
Okay.
I am not afraid of death. I have taken LSD, and I had ego death. LSD took my fear of death away.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
So there's the latest with Larry.
Quite a little Hagman endorsement there.
With Larry Hagman.
Jeannie, drop this acid in here. You'll feel immortal.
When we were talking to Patton Oswalt the other day, notice I didn't say the M word.
Right.
He had that funny joke about dwarfs. Mm-hmm.
Jeannie, I've had a nasty fall. Call Dr. Bellows, will you?
Lisa Remedy gave birth to a baby girl.
Oh, fantastic.
On Wednesday.
If skirmish or whatever, I'm happy for her.
Mm-hmm. Sophia Bella Pagan.
I love the name. I love the name Sophia. My daughter, Elizabeth's best friend, is named Sophia, and I love that name. It's a beautiful name.
Sophia Bella. Let me see.
Beautiful name.
The baby, Lisa Remedy is fine.
She gave birth at 3:01 p.m. Child weighed 16 pounds, 14 ounces, and measured 38 inches.
Six pounds, I think.
16 pounds.
I'm making that up, of course.
Ah. Wow.
I'm making that up. You really thought there would be a baby 16 pounds, 14 ounces, and 38 inches?
Give the baby champagne, Jeannie. Nice little mimosa.
Jeannie. So anyway, just let the word get back to Lisa Remedy that at least we pass along our best wishes.
Yes, 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 absolutely. And Sophia, what a beautiful name for a baby.
On the baby. Now, this is not a feel-good story. Although, Rob, you want to get the feel-good music. This is still a feel-good story, though. Have you seen the movie Kill Bill? Of course, yeah, with David Carradine.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay. He's getting divorced.
Hated it, incidentally.
He's getting a divorce from his fourth wife, Coco.
Oh.
Not to be confused with Courtney Cox, our cat's new baby. And that's her name is Coco, right? Coco Cox. Coco Cox, our cat.
Is she a girl with kaleidoscope eyes, Jeannie?
I don't know, Larry.
Okay, I'm killing my other liver.
Coco Carradine says that she's divorcing David Carradine because he had an incestuous affair with a close relative.
Oh, that's the best kind.
As if that's
recently?
Not enough. Yeah, yeah.
Is it another one of the Carradine brothers?
Coco says David tried to have Coco knocked up. First, by David Carradine's brother. Hold on. What did Rob write? What's the joke? What is it? What?
I see chunks in the urinal, Jeannie.
Oh, it's a bad sign, Larry.
Time to go, Jeannie.
Well, don't worry, Larry. The acid will get you through.
That's okay. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid to go meet Ray Charles, Jeannie. No problem, Jeannie. Go ahead.
But you have to follow this timeline now with David Carradine.
Yes, Coco please. Carradine.
So he's got Coco. Coco says, David tried to knock her up. David said, I don't like this. Here you go. I want my brother to try to knock you up.
Huh. Really? Keith?
And, yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds guy.
I don't know. But then, after that didn't work, he told his son, go take care of Coco.
Oh, that's gross.
See if you can knock her up.
Huh.
David,
is Coco a little hottie or what?
Who knows? David went to his brother, then to his son, because he wanted to have a child. And, here is the problem. David Carradine has a low sperm count. Low sperm count. So why would you bother going to a sperm bank?
Well, wasn't he all messed up with drugs during the Kung Fu era? Wasn't he messed up? I mean, didn't David Carradine really get into horrible situations? That's what I
think
read.
So, yeah.
I don't know. Larry Hagman says he's fine.
I'm fine over here, Jeannie.
Larry Hagman says everybody's fine.
Hey, David Carradine, take a look at my chunks.
have some champagne.
Doc Bellows tells me my liver looks like salsa, Jeannie.
Jesse Palmer, that pussy, the New York Giants quarterback, right. That was
pussy. Who though you said that Coach Coughlin is saying is doing a pretty damn good job.
Although so is Kurt Warner now.
Oh really?
Jesse Palmer, I think, has made the best possible move for his football career with the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. He just yesterday broke up with the broad that he got engaged to on the Dumb Bachelor show.
Good.
So it's obviously got the mini camp. You know, whatever they did, sure. They taped him to the goalpost, whatever it is.
Absolutely. Hazing.
He dumped her. Mike, once again, we didn't make the list of the most powerful people, the most powerful celebrities.
How many on the list?
Right, 10.
10, where were we?
11.
Oh, okay.
Listen to this. It's Johnny Depp, okay.
This is the most powerful people in show business?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Johnny Depp is number 10.
Then Spielberg, Springsteen. Michael Jordan.
Still?
Yep. J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Harry Potter books.
Right.
Here's what I don't get. The Stones at number 5.
Still? Well, they still. I think it's a money list. For
number 4, Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise hadn't done a lot in the last year.
Doesn't
have Last Samurai movie. Number 3 is Oprah. Number 2, Tiger.
Tiger Woods.
Number 1, in my book, not the most famous Mel of all time, but not Mel Carmison, Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah,
number one.
Because of the Passion of the Christ.
Passion of the Christ. And you'd be glad to know that, although they're neither one of them on the top 10 list, that Brad and Jen are still the power couple.
Wonderful.
Still the power couple. Oh, no, we're running out of time here.
I'm bored with them, incidentally, Brad and Jen. I know you love Jennifer Aniston, but just too much of them.
No,
really. Just
not enough.
Too much.
I disagree, not enough.
You ready for a feel good? Here you go.
Yes.
Now, this comes from Jesus Christ. Who knows where? Somewhere.
From Jesus Christ?
Somewhere far away. Nigeria.
Some might say that's where Jesus is.
Yes. Nigeria. Oh, you know something I saw on one of the TV stations today? I swear to Christ, no pun intended. They're doing the thing where they're going to commercials. Coming up, we'll tell you about your weekend forecast. Bob will have the latest. Sue Ann will tell you about the traffic and the newest diet phase. What would Jesus eat? We'll check in with the Jesus diet when we come back.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know that.
Yeah, we beat him to that story.
I know, Buzz, but seeing it on TV, here's the thing. I hear stupid things like that on our show all the time. I hear stupid things in the news all the time.
Right.
Not that I don't believe them. It's just, when you have a story and you read a story, I digest it and I go, oh, that's funny, that's interesting.
Right.
But then when you see the pictures, when you see the people on TV lining up, and all some of them dressing like Jesus,
right?
Like they're going to a Madonna concert where all the girls dress like Madonna. All these guys are dressed like Jesus, waiting for their food for the Jesus diet.
I read an article about it. The key to that diet is all in its simplicity. All grapes.
And if you eat anything that's not on the diet, watch it. It'll nail your ass.
My diet's only olives and champagne, Jenny.
Okay, here's the feel good from Nigeria.
Yes.
There's a guy. I'm not even going to be. I'm going to butcher this name. Selanami Nungawan Chang.
Perfect.
That's pretty good.
That's the best I can do. This dude comes home from work in Nigeria, and he finds his wife is dead. His wife has been eaten by a lion.
Oh, no.
He finds half of her body, her half-eaten body, is in front of his home. What does this man do? What would you do? I'll tell you what he did. He didn't call the police.
Well, I would have done that.
He didn't call a friend. What he did was he went and got some poison. And then when his wife's torso, the half that was still left there, as it was laying in the front yard, he poured poison all over her body and then waited for the lion to come back, and he watched the lion eat the rest of his wife, and then he watched the lion die.
Hey, that's a happy ending.
See, there's a feel good.
Great circle of life.
That's terrific.
It's a feel like one of those dumb Elton John songs.
Uh-huh.
So the guy comes home, and he goes, oh, my God, my lovely wife is dead. Look, she is all bloody. There's only half of her left.
Right.
And then he thinks, I know what I'm going to do. I'll get some rat poison, sprinkle it over the rest of her body.
And watch the lion die.
He spent, he spent an additional 8 hours on his front porch watching his dead wife and waiting for the lion to come back and finish eating her.
Siegfried never did that for Roy.
No, he did not.
Did he say the liver, Jeannie?
I don't know. This music means it's time for a phone scan.
All right.
A phone scan that will be sans horny horny.
Yeah.
Call now. Last phone scan of the week. You know anybody can get through on this show. 877-365-3636 from America. Canada, 800-636-1067. These are random calls. They're unscreened. You get on the line to get on the air with a phone scan, which comes up next.
Call us, Jeannie.
How great is that about Larry Hagman, though?
Yeah, sorry.
Really?
I'm using my new liver, Jeannie.
Pills are too easy.
But I tell you, if I burn this one up, don't put me on the list.
But I love the quote. I love my champagne. It's exuberant, it's bubbly, and it will destroy my liver.
Wow. Yeah, Dr. Bellows, I'm turning the color of an alien again. Sorry, Jeannie.
And that's too good about the Dr. Bellows, because I forgot that was his name. Right. That's the dude
that would
always walk in when the guy from Bob Newhart and J.R. Ewing would be there with Jeannie, and he would never know that Jeannie was there.
That's right.
Hayden Rourke was his name.
That's right. Yeah, Hayden Rourke, rest assured, he's on the other side of the dirt.
Okay. Yeah. He's still with us.
Your phone calls.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
You think he's still with us?
No, not Hayden Rourke. Bill Daly, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah, really. My friend.
Right.
Anything else, Rob? You got anybody else with that cast?
Well, there was the startling dual role that, of course, Barbara Eden had. She also played Serena.
No, that was Elizabeth Montgomery, wasn't it?
Oh, right, but there was a bad genie, though, wasn't there?
I think there was.
But yes, Elizabeth Montgomery would wear a dark wig to play the bad witch on Bewitched.
Hello. Yes, the sexy twin sister, Serena. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sister to Samantha.
Right.
And I think really the three of us right now are working very hard to completely stop the show.
No, he already did it. Yeah, we're just working to get it restarted. We had it going. I had it right ready for break until you had to come up with whatever that dummy's name is.
Hayden Rourke. I'm still pumping the brake.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
Proof that comedy doesn't need to be funny. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, well, truer words never spoken. Here now is our producer, Beth Ann. Hi, B.A.
No sooner were you going into that break than the phone rang.
Huh.
And guess who's on the line?
Well, guess who's going to have to wait?
I know. I just wanted to give you the option.
So, well, I got the option. Rebooking for next. When are we coming back? We have the case.
We'll be
coming
back on the day after the holiday here.
Which July 6th.
Mm-hmm. The 6th of July.
That's when we'll be back. Book him then.
I will.
Tell him we're very, very busy now.
He was in a meeting.
For
comedy
what?
Meeting.
Meeting what? The 12-step meeting? What type of meeting was he in? Okay, he didn't tell you. All right. Thank you very much.
It's fun to bump.
it is.
It is.
We'd rather talk to you people.
Phone scan now, 877-365-3636. Here we go with your live calls on the rotating random phone scan at Hello Don and Mike Show. Hello. I said hello.
Hello.
Orny?
Hello. Oh,
this ain't Orny. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, man, how you doing?
We're doing very well.
Hey, all right. What do you think little Bobby would say if anybody can do his impression about good old J.R.?
Bobby Ewing?
Yeah, you remember little Bobby?
Yeah, but you make it sound like he was a child.
Duffy?
And Patrick Duffy, I don't think, had a very recognizable voice like J.R. Ewing did, right?
Yeah, kind of that twang.
Hey, J.R.
Yeah, J.R., what do you think about
that? Hey, J.R. You didn't even have that much of an accent.
But I don't, when you say little Bobby, it makes him sound like a small child, like Bobby Hill.
Yeah.
From King of the Hill.
Not that little, but in J.R.'s eyes, he was always little Bobby, daddy's favorite.
Mm-hmm. There's a great Bobby. And
it's not mud, it's dog do.
King of the Hill is one of those shows that I've not seen all of the episodes, and when there's a repeat on, sometimes it's so funny.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
You don't realize how great King of the Hill is.
Who was Luann? I forgot who the actress was that played Luann.
Hey, come on, Rob.
She's great. Rob, who's
how could this be that you know who Major Bellows is from I Dream of Jeannie, but you don't know, because it is...
I can't think of her name. She was in Just Married. She has the raccoon-looking eyes.
Is it Brittany Murphy?
That's it.
Brittany Murphy.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Incidentally, it was Raccoon Eyes that did it for me, not that Just Movie, that Just,
really?
Just Married.
Hey,
Raccoon Eyes. Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hi.
Yeah. First, I was wondering, could I get the address to that fellow in Nigeria? I'd like to take the wife on a vacation.
Okay.
Second, that what would Jesus eat diet only works for Jesus. Half the food he eats falls through those little holes in his ass.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike Show. That was probably some stuff that Orny could take for his act.
Could steal it and put it on stage that very night.
Hello, this is the Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hello, boy. Did you buy my Cadillac?
Hey, see.
You're not my daddy.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You need more proof than that. My daddy gets a caddy. All he's got to do is call the show. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Hello.
Hello.
Can I please get a groaner, man? I live for that.
He wants a groaner.
You want a groaner? All right, I'll put you on hold. We'll come back to a groaner. Hold on a second. I can't believe someone actually listens for a groaner. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
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 Yeah, what can we do for you, sir?
I guess I saw at the Hank's Look Brown Cafe.
Pardon?
Guess what? Who I saw at Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Yes, who you saw.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Yes, who you saw at who did you see at Hank's Look Around Cafe?
Jack Diamond.
Now, that would be funny. If Harvey really came into your place, that would be funny.
That would be very, very funny. But it ain't going to happen. And hillbillies like to be called Songs of the Soil. But it ain't going to happen.
Bacardi Limon.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Oh, here we go. Hi, line two. Hello?
I'm the Groner guy.
Oh, the Groner guy. There he is. Let me go to the other bank. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah, we are. Hi.
Hi, guys. I know you guys are big Elvis fans, and I was just kind of curious. I never heard you talk about it, but have you ever seen a movie called Bubba Hotep with Bruce Campbell and Ossie Davis?
As a matter of fact, my son hipped me to that movie about a month ago. I know it's in theaters now. I've got it on DVD. It's a movie where Bruce Campbell, remember this, I've told you the plot of this.
Right.
He's in an old age home. A retirement with her, you know, old people, mm-hmm. rubber room. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's Elvis, and Ossie Davis thinks he's JFK.
And it's just their adventures.
And they break out, and don't go to see it in the theater, although it's a great movie. Wait for the DVD. Well, you don't have to wait. It's out now, because it has commentary with Bruce Campbell as Elvis.
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah, the movie is just absolute killer funny.
Don't they fight zombies or something?
Yeah, they fight a mummy. They fight a mummy. Yeah, it's great. It's in theaters now.
Can you buy the DVD?
Yeah, you can. Go to Amazon, you can buy it.
Okay.
Yeah, I just found it last night, and I thought it was hysterical and didn't know if you guys had heard about it or not.
Yeah, you know, I wish I could take credit for that, but it's my kid, who's nutty for, I guess it's Army of Darkness, is the Bruce Campbell movie.
And what's it
movie.
Called? Bubba Hotep?
Yes. Okay. Hello, Don and Mike show. Anyway,
hey,
it's great.
Up?
Hey, what's happening?
Not much. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, did you guys see that movie, Day After Tomorrow?
You know, I never did because, and I hate this, when a movie gets a real bad street buzz and then it gets bad reviews and I kind of get sucked into that, and I don't go because when it's all negative, and it was all pretty negative about that movie.
I didn't go. It wasn't my week to pick.
I had a big first weekend, but then after that, it's already out of the movie theater.
Well, did you see it?
Oh, yeah, I did. It really
thank you.
Do you care if we saw it or not?
Confirmation.
And that's the deal now that Frieda and I have. We've been working on this plan for over a month now.
Right.
Where every weekend, one of us picks the Saturday night movie.
You take turns.
And now here's where we had the problem today. This was unrelated to our Tony.
Whose turn was it today?
Well, we don't know.
Oh.
And here's why. Last week, we went to the Stepford Wives. I was, you know, lukewarm on going to see The Stepford Wives, but I said, let's go see this because I thought it was one she wanted to go see.
You can't
now,
go
listen
that.
To this curveball today while we're having the discussion. What movie are we going to tomorrow night?
Mm-hmm.
I said, how about The Terminal, the movie with Tom Hanks?
Yeah, right.
She says, oh, I thought you would have selected Dodgeball.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, Dodgeball, I forgot. That sounds pretty good. Oh, no, you already said The Terminal.
Wow.
So she's playing with me.
She reads reviews of
I'm
The
not
Terminal.
Sure which, I'm not sure which I'm going to see yet, but Dodgeball's gotten pretty good reviews.
Dodgeball's gotten good reviews. Terminal's gotten mixed reviews.
Here's what I really seriously have to plan, because my wife is crazy like this with us going to the movies, because it's something that we both like doing together, and, you know, we don't like anything else that we like the other like, so it's what we do together.
Right.
I have to plan it out, because I said to her today, okay, if I pick this weekend, and you pick next weekend, when does Spider-Man come out?
Yeah.
And she said, I think Spider-Man comes out in 2 weeks.
Would
I
you
said,
give up a pick?
Yeah.
Would you do 2 weekends in a row of what she wanted to see to make sure you get Spider-Man
if
the
it
opening
doesn't
weekend?
Fall on my week? Because I said, what happens if Spider-Man comes out and it's your week to pick? And she loved it. She said, well, I guess we're not seeing Spider-Man.
Ouch.
I said, but what if, like, Spider-Man opens on a Wednesday and I just go without you? She said, that's fine. Cheater. Cheater, not sticking to our movie plan.
Yeah, but the bottom line is you're avoiding movies that both of you don't want to see. So if you see it on your own time, you know, really, it isn't,
now
isn't
we
both
together.
Of your time, really.
Yeah, we go together.
Mr. Hand.
Having some pizza. Learning about Cuba. Having some food. Learning about Cuba.
I'll write it for the whole class to see.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I've got a Les Moonves question.
A what question?
Les Moonves question.
Okay, yeah, we are very tight with Les Moonves, the president of Infinity Radio and CBS. Yes.
Go ahead, share it, my friend.
Hey, if he prunes WHFS, do you think he'll use Money Metal pruning shears?
All right, that's a little bit inside, but I'll tell you what, that's
yeah.
still damn funny.
With a chime.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike show. And I hope he doesn't prune those guys out of there.
No, of course not.
Don't prune the junkies out.
No.
You want to prune something out?
Prune out Bill O'Reilly.
Amen. Yeah.
Please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, Don and Mike?
Oh, hold on. It's a guy sampling Don Imus's voice. Okay.
Don and Mike, they're on in Washington, right? Don and Mike. Don and Mike?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
I was calling for Mike. I wanted to tell him I'm a Boston Red Sox fan.
Well, we gained the game in the big bet, you know, after yesterday. It's been going very badly, but I'm very encouraged by yesterday, and we'll see if it continues.
How many games right now behind are you?
I was there when Tony Conigliaro got beamed.
Oh, you were?
Yes, I was.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, he deserved it, didn't he?
Oh, that was horrible. I think right now... Okay.
He was asking for it, as I recall.
I say that they are going to finish two games in front, at least, in the American League East, and they are now... What are they?
Is it four?
Four and a half games back. So
add on to that six and a half behind.
Six and a half behind as opposed to seven and a half yesterday. We've turned the corner. The pitching is coming on.
Okay.
Nomar's back. Trot Nixon is back. You know, I mean it, though. I mean, I know you say
it. I was not kidding.
But really, I mean
this
it.
This time you mean it?
I think
Can we mark this tape? June 18th?
If Curt Schilling is healthy.
Hold on. No ifs. Remember, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, oh, what a party we'd have. On June 18th, do you still feel good about your Red Sox bet?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all we need. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I had something I was going to say.
What?
I was going to say something about it. Now I forgot.
Hello, you're on the air. This guy just had the same thing happen to him.
He had the cranial cramp.
Hello, Don and Mike, phone scan.
Don and Mike.
Right.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I want to tell you a story I think that you can relate to.
Okay.
Excuse me.
I can relate to that. Why do that all the time?
Is it a story about lung butter?
My sister.
Is it a story about lung butter?
No, it isn't.
Go ahead.
What was that?
It was a very...
What? What?
She was pregnant and gave birth. And it was very, very difficult.
John. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. What were you saying?
I said...
Yeah, okay. Hi, Don and Mike show. Why do people still walk into that?
I don't know.
Suckers. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Right.
Got a question for you.
Yes,
actually,
sir.
It's for Mike.
Yeah.
At O'Mara's, you guys sell lobster?
No.
No.
Look around, cafe.
We have it occasionally on specials and different dishes, but we don't have, like, main lobster on the regular menu.
Tonight's special is dog.
Yeah. But fine quality dog.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. I was just wondering when the next time you're going to have a public appearance. I need to get Sherry Elliker's autograph on my CD-ROM, and I'm just wondering when I can make that happen.
You want Sherry Elliker's autograph on your CD-ROM? Go to Channel 9, dude.
You know, how long is our delay now? You know what I signed today? I signed Sex Pies and Videotape today.
Really?
Wow, that's another old tape.
Wow. That's a very old one.
Yeah, let me see. If you wanted Sherry's name, you got to go to Channel 9. If you want Diana's name, you'd have to go to Chicago.
And I forgot to tell you, I signed something I've never signed before, ever.
What's that?
I signed a radio. A guy brought his radio in that he listens to, like his boombox that he listens to when he's on the job. And I actually, have you ever signed a radio?
No, but I have a great answer. If you give me that setup again.
All right.
If you just say the thing, you signed something.
I signed a radio.
No. You signed something you've never signed.
I signed something I'd never signed before.
A prenup?
That's nice.
Now I'm laughing.
That's funny, yeah. Me too.
You're laughing louder, aren't you?
I'm laughing. Well, laugh loudly.
Do you like your job?
No.
Hello.
Watch it, a-hole.
Hello. You may leave now.
Oh, may I?
Hello, John and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hey, this is Larry Hagman's liver, and I love you guys.
You know, it's always the guys that have the prepared comedy that just can't get it off the air.
Thank you, Larry. Hey, do we have that tape of Hank? I think it's over there. That guy.
So people will know what we're laughing about. I think Sox had something to do with that.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, please don't listen to the radio. Listen to the telephone.
Hello?
Yes, there you go. Hi, Don and Mike show. Welcome to America. Where the language is English.
What
can we do for you? Yes, sir.
Yes,
we're talking to you, moron.
We're waiting for you.
Here it is.
What?
Was the lady in Nigeria's tainted?
You know, I don't even know what you're saying. You know what? God, let's all thank and give thanks to God, glory to God, all glory to God, that what he did was, whatever inane, dumb thing it is that you were saying, he jumped in and went on the cell phone so we couldn't hear it.
God made the cell phone drop out, purpose for all
things. And look at that. God just made it just fall right off the screen.
It's very good.
Like meat falling off a bone. Isn't that right?
I think socks had something to do with that decision.
It's not funny. Pardon? What word do you have trouble with? You understand not? That's comfortable for you?
Yeah.
And funny, you've heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This doesn't work. You see, I think socks had something to do with that decision. See, now I'm laughing.
Well, laugh loud so you can cover for the rest of us.
Hey, you like your job?
No.
Well, watch it. Let me go.
Oh, may I? Thank you. Come on, sir.
Watch it, asshole.
That's too good.
Yeah. Hank, I wish that show would come back.
Yes. You know, Beth Ann still doesn't have the Larry Sanders box set. And I keep telling her, how are you going to learn how this show works?
Yes.
Because, you know, I mean, I know we kid Mike about being Hank. Mm-hmm. I'll take the kidding about being Larry. I can't tell you how many times someone will come and say, like, oh, there's someone in the lobby who really is a big fan. They really want to meet you. And I do. I'm not proud of this. Mm-hmm. I will hide and say, tell them I'm not here.
Just like Larry.
Tell them I'm not here. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see anybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have all the episodes. I'll hook her up. And I have a restaurant and a bunch of Bentleys. And I'm bald.
You only no you're not bald.
No, I'm not bald.
You only have one Bentley.
Right.
And you do have a restaurant. No, you don't have a Bentley.
But it doesn't rotate.
And I am your black personal assistant.
And you will later go on to be married to the president, the big black president of the...
Married the big black president.
On 24.
But you know what? And once she watches that box set, Beth will have to come in, Beth Pham will have to come in and greet us by going, hello, children!
You know, I sent her an email the other day. I'm sure she had no idea what it was about. I sent her an email saying, you got to buy the Larry Sanders so you'll understand a little bit the jokes that we make on the show. And then I wrote, P.S., you are Artie.
Right.
Now, I have no idea if she even knows who Artie is.
Everybody's,
she
will. Everybody's going to do it. She'll be proud.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Yeah, you're on the air. Hey.
Hello?
You're on the air. Hey.
Hi. I got to tell you, I had a Bill O'Reilly encounter.
I got to tell you, I don't give a rat's ass because you can't respond.
I'm sorry.
So am I.
He's sorry, Don.
Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello?
No, listen.
What is it about today?
No,
we are not allowing callers that aren't bright enough to know that they're on
here. It's not going to be tolerated today. When we pick up the phone...
I'm sorry.
Okay, hey. All right. I'm sorry, too.
I smoked a little bit. Okay. I apologize.
That's okay. Fine. Get out of here. Right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Let's try this one.
Don and Mike, can I get a bing-bong Good Guy Friday chime time for the weekend?
Good caller, knew he was on the air, had something to say.
Bingo.
Way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Hey, buddies.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, Mike, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And guys, have a great vacation and get real, real gone.
We will. Thank you, Mike.
Very nice.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. This is the Don and Mike show, a radio show that you've dialed the number for, and
Don
I've just...
And Mike. How are you today?
Now, what is the problem today, sir? Yeah. We've had like four callers that don't realize...
400 callers.
What like takes this so long? You heard us, right?
I don't hear the tone.
You don't hear the tones?
Why don't you just listen to the voices?
Yeah, just answer the
people. Tones?
Well, they put me on hold, and then I never heard the little before I came on.
That's the problem. What are you overthinking it for?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Hey, Joe Artinger. Looks like...
What?
Brett Favre.
Get out of here. Joe looks like Brett Favre. Hello there, Don. Don and Mike show. Hello. He made us laugh. Hello.
Radio God.
Hi.
What's up?
Thank you for realizing you're on the air. Thank you. We appreciate that. Hi.
Hey, what do you guys drive? I'm in the market for an SUV.
I drive a bicycle. How about you, Mike?
I drive the new Honda. What's it called? The Element.
Geo Prism.
The Honda Element. I'm sorry that took a... I was like a caller with the amount of time it took for me to get that out.
And Rob drives a Panzer, don't you?
Oh, 1954 DeSoto.
A DeSoto. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Yeah, like I said, hi, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, man?
Well, we're having a slight problem with people not realizing they're on the air. Beyond that, things are great.
Cool. Hey, you want to hear a joke?
No.
Good God.
I won't cuss, man, I swear.
That's not the issue.
All right, listen, this would be a good way to go out on the phone scam. We'd give out his number if the joke's not good.
Eject. We can get a better caller. Trust me, if you ever trust me on anything. This man, no good can come out of this.
I know, but we can at least have the pleasure of giving out his phone number if the joke is no good.
I'm whatever the case is, I'm saying he will. Go ahead.
All right, you ready, dude?
Now, you realize if the joke stinks, we will give out this phone number you're calling us on.
And poison your body.
Yeah, I don't care, man. It's okay. All right.
Okay.
Why do they give old men at rest homes Viagra?
Why?
I know.
Well, hold on.
But that counts if Rob knows the punchline.
I know, but still, let him tell it, because maybe we'll laugh at it.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
Why Why do they give Viagra to old men at rest homes?
So they don't roll out of bed at night.
Right. So listen, this weekend, if you got nothing to do,
mm-hmm.
what you want to do is call area code 703, and this tool's number is 728-2072. For those of you on the West Coast,
call me a tool.
Yeah. Wait till our listeners call you. For those of you on the West Coast, please remember tonight when you go out, go to a movie, go to have a drink. When you get home and it's midnight, for this guy it's 3 a.m.
Amen.
And even if his cell phone backs up, leave a message. 703.
Hey, 728-2072.
Now, hold on. We were just giving the phone numbers out, and now we will give you your last word. Go ahead.
Whatever.
Don't cut him off. We got to get a last call, though. Hi, Don and Mike.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
Hey, Don, you used to do this thing with the board where you'd loop it, and you could hear what you said, and then you'd say it again 10 seconds later, and it'd go over and over and over again, and you said, this is what my mind sounds like.
You know, I think we did that when we were calling.
Right.
We were put on hold on the in-house system.
And then we hear ourselves.
And it looped and looped and looped.
Yeah.
This is very
fun.
Right.
Yeah, any way you could do that?
No. Not a chance.
Been done.
But you, my friend, are the last person on the phone scan. What is your name and where are you from?
Eric, and I'm from Virginia.
Rob?
Yes, I was just saying, it's great when we can reward excellence.
Okay, why don't you bring it up with Dr. Bellows? Okay. What's his name?
Hayden Rourke.
See the finish line.
You have tickets for the Orioles and the Red Sox July 26th.
Almost, yeah.
And that is courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet. Plus, you've won the HBO Curb Your Enthusiasm second season DVD box set. And
marathon
tickets to see the very funny Stephen Wright at the Warner Theater in D.C. Friday, June 18th. Enjoy, and thank you very much for listening.
Outstanding.
You got it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Hold on just a second. All right, so long, ass. That Rob wrote that. I just read it because it's funny.
I thought that went well.
Not what I really felt. I would have used a word after ass. Oh. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Any cold pasta?
There was some ziti, but it all got eaten.
The whole tray? From last Sunday? Monsignor Jughead was here.
If you are referring to Father Intintola, yes, he was.
Mm.
He spent the night here.
The priest spent the night here. What happened?
Nothing.
And you're telling me this because...
You might hear something. Take it the wrong way. His car was out front all night.
You know what? This is too f***ed up for me even to think about. What'd you guys do for 12 hours? Play, Name That Pope?
He gave me communion.
Oh, I'll bet he gave you communion.
Excuse me?
Well, Carmela, the guy spends the night here with you, and all he does is slip you a wafer?
That's verging on sacrilege.
Oh, I didn't mean to verge.
What, you think I'm lying?
I don't know, but the whole thing sounds...
Would I have told you about it voluntarily if there had been anything to be ashamed of? Do I look like the friggin' thorn bird over here?
He's a fag. That's it. Because otherwise, I got to question what I'm hearing here.
The Don and Mike Show. Two hot and hairy bear studs. Don and Mike.
Yeah, yeah, everybody.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Now, you know, The Sopranos, not on for the next, how many, 8 or 9 years, Buzz?
8 years.
8 years until they come back.
They'll be back.
The show had its big finale, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Anyways. a Friday favorite, yeah. And...
It's time now on JFK with cash for you and me.
Somebody's pissed. I did not even know that he knew about booking on shows and stuff like that. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
So what's happening?
He caught me in the middle of a sandwich.
That's all right.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's a little piece of birthday cake.
Why? So you
how's going, huh?
You kind of forced your way in here today.
Well, just, you know, the fact is I wanted to come by and talk about, the end of the show. You just blew me off.
Show's over, though.
Yeah, the show's over, but, I mean, you know, it's not like I can't come by.
Well,
I'm pissed off. It's going to be too long, and people are going to forget me, and I'm angry. Ah! I'm angry about this. What are you doing? You killing me? How you doing, bud?
Hey, Tony.
You get my note?
Yeah, I got the note.
All right,
you got
your mind right.
Yeah, we're straight.
You talking about AJ?
Yeah, AJ, she's not interested no more. AJ's all grown up.
Yeah.
Well, you know the plot on the show.
AJ's grown up.
What they did in the last episode was they gave the feeling that AJ
might be a little light
in the loafers.
I think I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, that he's,
well...
That AJ is,
I suggested...
Hold on a second. He's a fag. Is that it?
I suggested he become an event planner.
Is that what you did?
Yeah.
You're in trouble. Okay? I remember you, when you took the pictures, put them on your big computer screen.
On the screensaver.
By the pool.
AJ,
boy near
half
the pool.
Naked in the pool. He's
that's
just
right.
In his swimming trunks.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta come on the Don and Mike show, take a look at your screen.
It was on my computer.
And see my kid. He's my kid. And he's on the screen. In his bathing suit.
It didn't mean nothing by it, Tom.
The boy enjoys party planning and interior design. There's nothing more to it.
Okay.
All right? You understand that? I'm very upset that we're off the air.
No, I didn't know. I understand.
You said I was going to be angry. What was I going to be angry about again?
Oh, remember we were going to have you on and then we bumped you instead for Harry Potter?
I'm angry at you for that. I was supposed to be on You Gotta Go with the Harry Potter because it's supposedly more popular because you looked at the ratings and you said the ratings were down from a few years back.
And you know it's a funny bit that Mike does with Harry Potter?
I think the ratings would have been higher if we whacked Christopher.
No. You know what's a good bit, though, that Harry Potter does?
How about that, huh?
Maybe,
how about Christopher's girlfriend letting us down, huh?
Yeah. Maybe you could do this bit.
What's that?
Mike does his bit with Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Where he comes on to Rob.
Who do you think I am? Well, you think, I don't go that way.
I know, but that's
what... I'm not going to come on anybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought you were really taking it to extreme.
Did you have Joe Ottinger look after my horse?
Okay. Hold the horse.
From the dream sequence, he's outside. The horse is out there right there. And do you like my outfit? I'm wearing a general's uniform. Just like Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah, you got that Napoleon hat like the one in the picture that Paulie Walnuts had.
I tell you, it's going to be exciting. You know, we need the time off. I'm real happy with the way things are going. And, yeah, that's a close shave for me with Johnny Sack.
Sure was.
Man, oh, man, I thought I was in. And, you know, then my attorney says, sleep well, my friend. You're going to be all right. Everything's going to get worked out. But, you know, and then the first thing, I got to trudge through 2 miles of snow.
Oh, right.
Feet soaking wet, freezing to death. I go in through my sliding glass door. What's the first thing that Carmela says? Carm says to me, she says, your feet are wet. What are your feet doing all wet? Mm-hmm.
Well, come on. We all know why we know why you got back with her.
What?
We know why. What's happening?
I got a dizzy spell there, you know, just for a second.
You having another
one of my spells, you know. Where's the friggin' bear? Where's the friggin' bear? That's what I want to know.
The last episode,
I had so many ideas that they didn't accept that. And I'm pretty broken up about my cousin Anthony.
May I ask for a moment?
I didn't mean to kill him, but I had to kill him. You understand?
You
I needed to blow him away.
Tony?
Yeah.
May I please speak with Jimmy?
James.
Is Jimmy in there?
Yeah, he's always around. You want me to get him?
Yeah, I
do. All right, James.
Jimmy Gandolfini?
The yes, actor. Talented actor, character actor, James Gandolfini.
And I bet he's not mad that we bumped this a bit for a couple of weeks.
You got to hit the door. He got to hit the door. You got to play the game right. Come on now.
Have we done it like that before?
All right, come on in, James.
James?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, what's happening?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, my friend.
We are on a hiatus. And we'll be coming back, hopefully, sooner than later.
And are you upset that we didn't get this bit on 2 weeks ago?
Oh, no, not at all. No, I've been actually taking some time off analyzing some various film scripts that have been sent my way.
Oh.
And I think it's going to be very exciting what we have coming up. I think you're going to see me in several projects while we are on hiatus from Sopranos. I think it's going to be okay at the Sands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
What is that?
The last day before vacation.
It's a little
I'm going a little wiggy.
It's a little Wayne Newton-y there.
Hey, how are you? Hey, they all run together. No, I'm very excited about it. It's going to be a good time. I think you should be very thrilled about what's going to happen. And I think, excuse me, Robert, would you fetch me a glass of water, please?
You see?
Thank you very much.
The real Jimmy Gandolfini.
Oh, look at Itchy on the trigger over there, sitting there all frustrated when I'm speaking to you. He always hates it when I speak to
Jimmy
you.
Jimmy is just so laid back.
James,
such a bro.
Ta-ta. Call me James, Lala, if you don't mind.
Could I call you Jay?
I'd rather not.
James.
I just find that James, if you're comfortable with it, I'm comfortable with it.
Seriously.
I'm a talented actor, and I would like to be called James Gandolfini, if you do not mind.
May I speak to Tony?
Huh?
May I speak to Tony?
Tony. Listen to this guy. Don't be called late for dinner. God, what a fag. I swear to God, he's Mr. Prissy. Mr. What? Prim and Proper Prissy guy.
What guy doesn't like...
Don't call me James.
What guy doesn't like the Y on the end of his name? The Jimmy, it's like the ball player. That, hey, Jimmy Gandolfini.
It's a popular school of thought, okay?
Okay.
The popular school of thought is you try to shorten the name so it's easy. Therefore, that is referred... I am referred to as T. People refer to me as T. Like, hey, I got some information from you, T. You know, a Paulie Walnut says, hey, come over to see me, T. It's that type of thing. You know, this guy called me James. Well, you want to make your name long?
How would you react if someone called you Mr. T?
Mr. T, I look at that as disrespectful. Mm-hmm. No disrespect.
No, understood.
No disrespect, but I would...
the Oriental?
No disrespect to the Orientals. But, you say, Mr. T, I know what you're talking about, you know, and I'm not that guy. You know, I wear the gold chains and do that.
Speaking of no disrespect to the Orientals and Parcells,
yeah,
you did a real Jap attack on your cousin on that
show. You know, I did what had to be done,
yeah.
And I'd rather not talk about it. You know, that's
I wish you would.
Well, if you want, I could talk about it.
Can you tell us about killing Steve Buscemi?
That's tough. You know, you got to make these decisions, but he acted out of line.
Mm-hmm.
He went way out of line there. I got no choice. I told Johnny Sack I'd do that. But, Phil wanted to take him and rip him apart with a plier and then put him on a table and stuff like that. I got to make the decision. I got to protect my family. I got to protect my earners. That's what I got to do. And so I had to make that decision. So I went up to the house in the country and got the shotgun and blew him away. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys wrote in the paper was a high-powered rifle. You know, I mean, come on. Pay attention to weaponry. It was a shotgun.
Ah.
I got him right in the head. Blew have his head off.
Wow.
And he was staring at me with those big, you know, those big Google eyes that he's got there. It just freaked me out.
Do you feel any...
But I'm happy he got a nice piece before the night before.
True.
Yeah.
Do you feel any remorse at all about killing your cousin, Tony?
My cousin?
Yeah.
Killing him?
Yeah.
No.
No, you don't.
No, you can't. You can't. If you dwell on it, you got problems. You know?
James?
Yeah. Can't I stay?
I'd like to just get his perspective.
Hold on.
James.
Hey, James.
James, he wants to talk to you.
Hey, Jimmy.
I hate the whole killing part.
Hey, Jim.
Hello.
James?
Yeah.
How did you feel, even though it was theatrical, not real, how did you feel about taking out Steve Buscemi?
Well, the character of Tony taking out Steve Buscemi was traumatic, actually, because, you know, you have the makeup and you actually feel the role, and it felt very... empty inside after that scene was done. I found myself feeling overcome with emotion.
And
because it also means, you know, it's a good friend, a close personal friend who was written out of the show, Steve Buscemi, a talented actor in his own right. It depresses me greatly. It does, if you must know.
And there is something I wanted to ask both of you guys.
The death was a metaphor for internal struggle and pathos. That's what it was to me.
I wanted to ask both of you.
You want both of us?
One at a time.
You
same
know,
question.
I just, Don.
James?
Rule alert. I don't answer questions with him at the same time.
Same question, two guys.
All right. Will you let me to go first?
You first.
Is that all right with you, Tony?
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay. So we've had a lot of scenes this year on the show with sensual moments between you and Carmella.
Ah, yes.
What are those scenes like when you are in a compromising position with Carmella and she's naked? What are those scenes like?
Well, I'd like to point out that we're both professionals, and she is somebody who brings a tremendous amount to the table. She's a talented actress, and you're actually, it's not as romantic as you might think because you're surrounded by cast and crew.
Have you seen her nude, though?
Oh, yes.
And what are your thoughts?
Edie is someone that actually is so professional that you don't get... sidetracked by that type of activity. The nudity is part of the job. Uh-huh. And Robert, my assistant, helped with fluffing.
Oh. All right, now we've got
very nice for me.
If Tony would come back for a second. Tony? Tony?
God. What a pile of you know what. I mean, you can't say it on your show anymore.
That's BS. What was it like being with Carmella?
It was great. It's great with any piece of ass. That's the way I like it. The more the merrier. I always say, bring the broads. Bring me all the broads. Bring the strippers, the Russians. Bring the Italian lady, the art dealer. I want them all. I want them all. I can't stand it. I'm insatiable.
But when we saw the scene with Carmella in the pool.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was great.
You didn't think she's a little hagged out?
Oh, come on now. You don't do the face, right? Okay? And it's in the pool. That's why I was in the pool. Come on, man. I even like the crispy burn chick.
Wow.
That's the way I like it. I like them all. It doesn't matter to me, man. Especially the one that I, you know, strangled and she hung herself. Oh, man.
Oh, the car dealer?
Nipples on the seats. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. That's the car dealer girl. Yeah.
Man,
the Mercedes
girl. I enjoyed every second of it. The more the merrier. Bring it on. Bring it on.
Wow.
Oh, man. I understand what his deal is. Pathos. Give me a break, all right? Go get bent. There you go.
Hey, Jimmy?
You want to talk to Jimmy Gandolfini?
Just for a second, if you don't mind.
Okay. I would like to say it was a wonderful show to do it. I enjoyed it. I'll put you back over with this actor boy. I'd just like to say that I never was involved with Miss Marchand during the show.
Oh, you mean...
Hey, Don and Mike. Or you don't know if it's Philip Book.
Hold on. Wrong tape. Here she is.
Oh, for you.
You mean the mother?
Yes, that never happened. So if anyone wants to insinuate that type...
Tony? We got to go to the break, but... Tony?
What? I'm over in the back here.
Tony, hey. Hey, Tony.
Yeah, what?
You ever get along with Nancy?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, she's an actress.
Thank
you. It's all confusing.
All right, I got
it. I'm sorry to bother you. Sorry you felt that way. I got it on also with a big fat guy at the construction site.
Ah.
You know, the guy that was giving the thing to the security guard.
Yeah, absolutely. And that lady that was charred and crispy. John Crispy Black Lemon, and Vito.
We need to play Jeopardy here with two callers. I think we have fresh meat this week.
Yeah, if you want to know the guys that I like, you see, I give them a gentle squeeze on the right shoulder. How you doing, beautiful? There you go.
What about, you know, we have an Infinity executive who looks just like Bobby Bacala.
Oh, Bobby Bacala, yeah. Oh, I know.
Scott Herman.
I know of him.
Yeah.
I've dined with him.
Ah.
Let's get two callers now for Jeopardy, okay?
And I have my way with Phil Leotardo. Leotardo, the Riotardo.
877-365-3636, the number. We'll play Jeopardy with Tony and with Jimmy.
Yeah, Buenos Aires. We're having a good time, aren't we?
When we come right back.
Yeah. No calls from idiots.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's going on with you? You know that no God shit that upsets your mother very much.
It's not no God. God is dead.
Who said that?
Nietzsche. He's a 19th century philosopher from Germany. Anyway, that's why I'm not getting confirmed.
Enough with that, all right? Your confirmation's coming up this week and you are getting confirmed.
That sucks my nut.
Great. You got a lot of balls, you know that? You go to Catholic school and your mother wants it.
Yeah, what does she know?
She knows that even if God is dead, you're still going to kiss his ass. Hey!
The Don and Mike Show. Masters of the Taking Touch. Don and Mike.
Right. Ready to play the game?
I'm having a good time in here. Looking forward to it. You know, I don't like the layoff. I want to get back to the action.
You want to get back to the Bing?
Yeah. Want to go down to Bing, you know, talk to Sill? Whack a few people. That's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I want to beat up my bartender again.
Oh, the guy that you beat up once every 5 years?
Yeah, man, he always says the wrong thing at the wrong time when I'm upset.
He does. Tony, let's play Low Budget Jeff Hardy. Hey, and don't forget about that one girl you banged. The girl with the artificial leg.
Oh, yeah, the Russian girl.
Yeah,
she was taking care of my mother.
Yeah, did we mention her before with all the girls you banged?
Yeah, she was great. She has cigarette breath, though. Nasty cigarette vodka breath. Terrible. Throw a friggin' cash register at it. All right, let's
Low Budget Jeff Hardy.
Low Budget 70. Now entering the studio is a meeting and event coordinator from Bowie, Maryland.
Hey, it's like a faggot like your son.
Hey, he's a fag. He's an event planner. Let's say hi to Brian Vaughn.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, Don. Hey, Keith.
Hey. And now entering the studio is a...
Hey, don't be offended. I mean, if you're a fag...
Yeah, I'm no fag. Let's get that clear.
You know, we don't mean anything by it, okay?
No. Not there's anything wrong with it.
All right, thank you, fag.
Yeah, go to, you know, out there to Berkeley. Stuten from Burlington, Iowa. Let's say hi to Shay Hoshek.
Shay?
Yeah, hello, Don and Mike. Hey. Don and Jay...
T.
Tony.
D&T. Yo, Shay, what's the matter? You got a cat got your tongue?
Yeah, I think so. I'm queer, that's why.
Forget about it. Now entering the studio is the host of a low-budget Gemini program. Please, Brian and Shay, do not screw with LQ and say hello to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
You're a good reader, Tony.
Thank you, Don.
Here are the categories, fellas, and they are, who sponsors that NASCAR driver?
Oh, NASCAR. Forget about it.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's bad. I bought my head.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, he's a fag.
Those kooky celebrities.
Kooky celebrities, yeah, like the Crispy Burn chick.
And last week's top DVD sellers.
DVDs. I like DVDs,
so
especially when it's like when they're from the History Channel.
Mm.
They could go good with ice cream.
NASCAR drivers, the sponsors. Yes. Tom Hanks. Ronald Reagan, kooky celebrities, and not the DVDs that you're buying, but the ones that you're renting, rather, the ones you're buying, the top-selling DVDs. Tony? did I go too fast there?
I was trying to keep up, but who are we going to start the game with?
Brian. Brian, the...
Brian Vaughn.
The non-fag decorator.
Bowie, Maryland.
Brian.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Let's open with Reagan.
Reagan, okay. Reagan, this TV network had the highest television rating for the daytime funeral service.
What is CNN?
Shay, your chance to steal.
What is Fox News?
No. Negative. Tiffany Network, CBS.
Huh. And Brian, you're still in control.
Let's stay with ratings.
Thank you, Rob. This TV network had the highest rating for the nighttime Reagan funeral service.
What is CNN?
Hey, Shay, another opportunity for you.
What is Fox News?
Oh, fellas, it's NBC.
NBC, so congratulations to the Tiffany Network and, you know, Must See TV.
And now again, just for question three, just among the big six, as we'll call them in this case.
Yeah, the big six.
This broadcast network was still last in the ratings, even though they didn't carry the Reagan funeral.
Brian, this is your question.
What is ABC?
No. Hey, your chance to steal.
What is Fox?
Oh.
Guys, UPN.
UPN.
Or as Rob calls it, UBN.
UBN, yeah.
I'll tell you what that means some other time.
Rob. He's going to Rob. All right, Brian, you're in control.
Let's go Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. All right, here's your Tom Hanks thing. You know, he's got a movie coming out.
Yeah, it looks stupid.
So these are quotes. Did Tom Hanks really say these things or not?
He's supposed to be from a foreign country, right?
Yes, that's right. He's supposed to be an immigrant from a country, and he gets stuck in an airport.
Is this about the movie? Is the questions are just about Tom Hanks?
That was about Tom Hanks.
Why isn't it about the movie?
Well, here you go. Tom Hanks.
Okay. I like to watch Hitler and eat two quarts of Turkey Hill vanilla.
Tom Hanks, did he say that or not?
All right. I'm not playing, right?
Yeah. No, you're not.
No. Okay.
Tom Hanks.
Hi.
I'm just a regular guy. I drive a Volkswagen Beetle.
What is yes?
No.
Hey, Shay, really confusing question. Time for you to steal.
What is no?
No, Tom Hanks did not say that.
$1, you're on the board, Shay. Time to select again.
We'll stick with Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, did he say that or not? For two. I'm the artist.
What is no?
Hey, Brian, your chance to steal.
What is yes?
Yes, he did say that. He said that in Entertainment Weekly. I'm the artist.
There's a friggin' egomaniac.
The word the, at least in the online edition, was in italics.
Well, check that at the door. You know, he checked that at the door. He's crazy.
Right. Okay, for three, Tom Hanks. What was that, Tony?
No, I said it under my breath.
What'd you say, though?
A friggin' maniac. Are you kidding me? It's crazy. One night I ate over 17 inches of imported salami.
But not in a gay way.
Oh, okay.
How other way can you eat 17 inches of imported salami?
Yeah, you can eat it. Come down and no problem at all. It's easy, you know? You eat it one chunk at a time. It's not like you eat the whole piece.
Tom Hanks for three, did he say that or not? The quote. Yes, I look in the mirror and say, you're Tom Hanks.
What is yes?
$3 for you, Brian. Congratulations.
He did say that in GQ magazine.
And Brian, you're still in control.
Yeah, let's go with the David.
All right, David, good. Here you go. Not rentals, but the DVDs that we bought last week. Top-selling DVD in America last week. It was the Oscar winner this year for Best Picture.
What is... Monster?
Hey, Jay, your chance to steal.
What is... I don't know.
Lord of the Rings.
Little thing on Lord of the Rings, and I want to give it... Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Yeah, a bunch of midgets running around. Hey, no disrespect to the Orientals. Hey, Brian, you're in control.
David for two.
All right, last week this was America's second top-selling DVD, stars Kurt Russell.
What is Backdraft?
Yeah, maybe if people are buying, like, in the... This DVD costs 99 cents, Ben.
Say your chance to steal. That's too funny.
I don't know that either.
You don't know that either.
Right. Oh, a little thing called Miracle.
I thought he was going to say the Love Bug.
The Olympic team. Miracle.
I sure could go for 75 ounces of dry provolone.
Okay.
Brian, you're in control.
Here we go.
Let's close David out.
David's for three. And this one will surprise you. In America last week, the third top-selling DVD stars Ray Romano.
What is the movie where he's running for office?
Yeah, that would be
Shay,
good with the title.
Your chance to steal.
What is The Bear or something like that? I have no idea.
Oh, I know.
Tony.
Come on, what are you doing? I watched this woman. I was eating ice cream. What is Welcome to Mooseport?
Yeah.
Ah,
that's right.
There you go. Fagola.
And
Brian, you're in control.
Brian.
Yes, NASCAR sponsors for one.
Okay, I'll tell you the product, and you tell me who the driver is.
Okay.
On this car, the primary sponsor is either Pepsi or DuPont.
That would be that fag, Jeff Gordon.
That would be not in the
question. Yeah,
see what happens? Trying to be smart?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Shay, your chance to steal.
Who is Jeff Gordon?
There you go.
$1 for you, Shay. Select again.
Here's an easy one, Shay. NASCAR for two. He drives the Budweiser car.
Who is Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
Right.
$2 for Shay. Coming on strong, going fast, just like a good horse.
And for three, he drives the Viagra car.
Who is Mark Martin?
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. That's $3. You're taking the lead, Shay. Select another category.
Well, go with kooky celebrities.
Those kooky celebrities. Let's see. Oh, for one, he mooned the crowd last week at the MTV Movie Awards.
Oh, I don't know.
Brian, your chance to steal.
Who is James Gandolfini?
No, I don't do that kind of stuff. Too much hair.
No, it's Eminem.
And Shay, you're in control.
Stay in that category. $2.
He bought Jennifer Lopez a $24,000 pair of flip-flops.
Who is Mark Anthony?
Right.
$2 for you, Shay.
Let's close it out.
Kooky celebrities for three. This Fox News anchor lady told O.J. Simpson to his face that she thought he was guilty.
Who is Andrea Kramer? I don't know.
Andrea Kramer, she's on ESPN.
Great. Come on. Hey, Brian, your chance to steal.
Who is Edie Falco?
No, man, I bet we got a couple of news junkies here.
Greta Van Facelift. Greta Van Susteren.
I think she's nice.
You think she's nice?
Yeah, I'd do her.
You would?
I'd do her.
Oh, okay, sure. Remember your rule about the face.
Oh, big time. Is that the end of the first round?
That's it, Tony.
Yeah, that's the end of the first round of Love is Everything.
And here is your category where we physically force you both to bet it all, so good luck. Final Love at your Jeopardy. The category is Celebrate Good Times, Come On.
Yeah, all right.
And here's the answer. It's the actual date of talented radio mimic Mike O'Mara's birthday.
Oh, hey, trick question.
Okay.
There you go.
It's the actual date.
All right, you.
Of talented radio mimic Mike O'Mara's birthday.
Talented radio mimic.
Tell us we need it in the form of a question, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive a chance to audition for my new Tony Soprano reality series.
What is that?
Whacked. Listen up. We take our hidden cameras all over America and give five guys and girls a chance to make decisions that can help or hurt some friends of ours.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of each episode, the biggest F-up gets whacked. All leading up to a lucky contestant getting their button. Hopefully you'll see it on Fox. Now back to Final Love on 70 with Alex Trebek Geronimo. You see, they all die. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I liked it. Thank you. Here we go.
And it's, which guy has less money here, Tony?
Brian Vaughn of Bowie, Maryland.
Brian, it's the date of talented radio mimic and my best buddy, Mike O'Mara, his birthday.
What is June 19th?
No, you are wrong, Brian Vaughn of Bowie.
Shay, you are the big wiener if you have the right answer.
What is July 3rd?
July 3rd.
No.
Maybe on Mars.
No, morons.
No, no, let me see. Am I right? Is it June 23rd?
No, moron.
Is it June 22nd?
Yes.
Hey, Buzz, thanks for the help on that one.
Thank you.
Don't look at me in that tone of voice.
You are going to get a giant piece of coal in your stocking.
I even wrote down the wrong date on my sheet.
Oh, isn't that great? Doesn't that make you happy that nobody got it right? That brings you joy, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. I'm embarrassed.
All right, fantastic. Nobody won.
I'm embarrassed. There's no money given away today. Alan Limelight will be very happy.
Oh, good.
Oh, we do have some.
I hope you all rock.
We do have some wonderful parting gifts. Here now, Tony, to tell you what you want, Tony.
Congratulations, boys. You have won a exclusive Don and Mike logoed sleeve of Pro V1 golf balls, courtesy of Golf Dom. Live the game.
But wait, let's live the game.
Whatever. Congratulations to both of you, too. You have won a HBO Curb Your Enthusiasm, the complete second season DVD. Don't miss this opportunity to collect the next 10 half-hour episodes available wherever DVDs are sold from HBO Video. Congratulations and thank you! Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, guys.
The Quaalude Brothers. There they go.
All right. Well, Tony, what can I say? It's been great having you by. I guess you'll be on the show again in 2 years unless you have a movie coming out or something first.
I will come by the day before Halloween when you're celebrating your birthday.
There you go. Should be fun. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a big party. Or is it Thanksgiving time? Shall I? If I could stop this for just a second.
Yeah, what are you doing? What?
If I could just remind you.
Yes.
On my birthday.
Yes.
Do you remember when not only I reminded you the day before, but you showed up to work the day of my birthday?
Yes.
With nothing?
Yes.
Nothing? Not a card?
Yes.
Not nothing?
Yeah.
Do you know that the
That's what this is all about, isn't it?
No.
That's the whole reason, isn't it?
No,
now we've identified it's a payback.
No, it's not a payback.
It's a payback.
No. Your birthday happens while we're on vacation.
That's right.
There'll be a little something in your envelope waiting for you at home with my name on it.
Very nice. Very clever, boys. Who are you talking to here?
I thought I was talking to Mike, but I guess I'm talking to Tony.
No, Mike ain't here. Mike no home. Mikey no home. And do you remember what my friend Mike did for you after that because he felt so guilty and remorseful? Do you remember the gift certificates? The Best Buy?
How could he forget?
I remember.
$1 million worth of gift certificates.
And doesn't my buddy Mike know that I wouldn't really in real life forget his birthday and that there will be something in his house on the 23rd?
I will pass that along to
him. In a world where radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
Me. He made it up.
There he is. And Buzz?
Yes.
What's new in the news besides AJ and a Speedo?
Today, breaking news, an eye for an eye today in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay. All right. Tony?
How do you make light of that?
Yeah, you don't. I'm sorry. It just happened, and it's important. And
is it that hostage guy, or is it
that and more?
Oh, all right. Well, then, Tony, you better get out of here.
I gotta leave now.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Okay. Hold on.
Everybody have a nice time. Take a look at my bitch ass.
Okay. And stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
And Buzz has the breaking news. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Wait till you hear what they done did. The Don and Mike Show.
No, he didn't. Time for news now and comments with Buzz, brought to you by Verimax. World's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor?
It's number one because it really works. Doctor developed, clinically tested. Verimax available nationwide. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX.
And now here's the world's biggest Duran Duran fan.
That's right.
Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. We certainly didn't want to go out on this note, but it has to be done, so we'll try to get past
it. It's news, let's do it.
Another day, another grisly beheading. American hostage Paul Johnson has been executed by his captors in Saudi Arabia. The U.S. government confirmed that after Johnson's body was found. Pictures of the beheading are already on the internet, of course. The Al-Qaeda.
God damn it.
However.
Hey, well, here's what I want to know, though. Local radio station WMAL.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was telling me.
When they played the audio or something like that?
No, nothing to do with Nick Berg. They renamed their studios.
Mm-hmm.
Now when they come on the air, they go like, it's 4 o'clock, this is Chris Coy broadcasting from the Ronald Reagan Studio.
Oh, my God.
Now, they,
oh
the last God. Time, this right-wing station in town, they ran the video of Nick Berg.
The audio of it.
Actually, I think it started as both.
On
a radio station website.
Right,
yeah,
on a website.
On the radio station's website, they ran both the audio and the video. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I hope they have it up tonight when I get home, that I can see the new guy being beheaded. Thanks, WMAL, broadcasting from the Ronald Reagan Studios.
That's not too transparent, is it?
Yeah, right.
But there was a quick response, for what that's worth. The Al-Qaeda leader in Saudi Arabia, the one who took credit for the beheading, was killed while disposing of Paul Johnson's body. Two people with that Al-Qaeda leader were also killed.
All right, you know, the whole thing's just creepy.
Yeah.
The whole thing is creepy.
It's insane is what it is. It's just, you know, I don't know. I mean, what I'm going to say might sound controversial, but I think at a certain point you got to figure out, you know, the way the world's going right now, I don't see any end to any of this. I don't see any solution to any
cycle.
Of this. I think it's time to maybe think about alternative ways of dealing with the problem. Really, like maybe, you know, not doing what we're doing and trying to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, I feel like what we're in right now, that what we've jumped into in the United States is the same cycle of violence that you've seen in Northern Ireland for hundreds of years, and you've seen with the Palestinians and the Israelis for hundreds of years, and now here we are in the same thing, and I don't know. I mean,
how about just exit strategy? Mm-hmm. How about George? How about it? Just a nice exit strategy.
You know, I part of me says, why not? You know, just get out of that region. Come over here and deal with our own problems.
Here's the thing. If Iran is going to build nuclear weapons, let's worry about that when they build the weapons. If Russia's in on it with Iran, let's worry about it when it happens. Right now, Iraq is nothing. I mean, they don't have the weapons of mass destruction. They're lunatics. They're killing each other, but they're killing us too.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. And you know, for anybody that was that saw that videotape of Nick Berg, I mean, just to hear about another one of these things makes me sick to my stomach.
I know. A brief look back then. For now,
hold on. Give me a second.
Okay.
Just let me see if it's on WMAL yet on their website. www.mal. And for those of you wondering, I don't worry about talking about them. They're so far behind us in the ratings. We could change the name of our show to WMAL and it wouldn't help.
Aren't they ReaganStudio.com now?
Let me see. Hold on. Another American murdered by terrorists.
Uh-huh.
They had Paul Johnson was beheaded. All right, I'll click and see if they've got the video up. Hold on, give me a second here.
How do they rate with the cross-eyed demographic?
Hold on. Oh, you know what? They're not doing their job. They only have a picture of him now before he was beheaded.
Okay.
I'm sure that...
It's early.
Give them some time. Sure. This is breaking news, right, Buzz? This just,
yes, it is.
Just
yeah.
got re-
yeah.
released
just
in the last few
ago.
Moments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm counting on you over there. 6:30. That's where I want to go to see that. From
the Ronald Reagan Studios.
And I guess there is some amount of justice that they caught the guy, the leader of this, that was when they were disposing
right.
the body.
The very man who took credit for the beheading, this beheading, was killed on the scene when he dumped the body.
All right.
Along with two of his helpers.
Have a safe trip to hell.
Yeah.
It was.
You know, just one more thing about Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching on one of the dumb...
And this isn't Iraq. This is Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah,
right.
But I know, but it's all the same. I mean, it's not the same, but it's the same thing.
Right.
My point about us being over there, whatever the hell we're doing over there, a couple of things. First, can somebody tell me why gas prices are going down now?
Yeah, because they started to increase production.
Yeah.
Yeah, you believe that?
Well, no, I mean, that's what they said.
I know.
That's
based on a promise they made to the Bush administration.
I know, but I would just like the truth about that.
Yeah.
And this morning on one of the morning shows they had for Father's Day.
Well, I mean, they do. That is the truth. I mean, they do increase supply, and that's how It happens, but
and
it's
it
still
happens
controlled
that,
by...
It happens that fast, Mike.
Well, it actually didn't. They did this about a month and a half ago.
I don't believe it. I don't believe that the gas
prices... What don't you believe?
I don't believe that the gas prices go up a dollar in a month for no reason, and then they come down 20 cents.
I see what you're saying, but I mean, if you looked at the convoluted way that gas prices are determined, I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Okay.
I mean, if you're talking about it that way, they could actually, you know, the oil companies in this country could say, yeah, we're going to do this. But it's all based, they justify it all based on what they pay per barrel.
Right, for oil.
It's all screwed up. And then I'm watching this other thing about Father's Day, where they've gone to an elementary school, you know, because this is the angle, where you want to get kids whose dads are over there.
Mm-hmm.
And in essence, what you're doing is making a nice video card that you'll send over to Iraq or Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia, wherever our guys are. And, you know, I'm watching this and I'm thinking, who does this? I mean, I'm not mad at the TV station. I'm not certainly not mad at the families. It's just, look what the hell we've gotten ourselves into.
Yeah,
now.
I know what you're feeling. What I'm feeling. I'm mad.
On a morning show.
I'm furious.
It's like, hey, don't forget Father's Day is this weekend. Dad loves the technical gifts. But what about those dads over in Iraq?
Yeah.
You know, let's talk to little Johnny jump in his, you know, hi, Johnny, what do you want to say? You know, the kid embarrasses me. I just want to say my dad's over there fighting for freedom and we all love you. And it's like, I wish somebody would explain to Johnny exactly what his dad's doing there, because then maybe little Johnny could explain it to all of us.
Yeah, I know. It's frustrating.
Now, hold on. Here's Ken about the guy that just got beheaded. Ken.
Yes, Don and Mike.
Hey.
From what I heard on the radio earlier, the video was delivered to a Saudi Arabian television station, and they're not releasing it because they made the decision it was too graphic to be released.
But it is on the Internet, I understand. I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
Hey, dude, everything's on the Internet. Okay, thank you.
Right. You got it.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
You got it.
Right here, as we continue to broadcast from the Walter Mondale Studios.
Yes. I don't know why this is affecting me so much. I'm so mad right now.
We've had it up to here.
Yeah. I mean, God damn it. Another person, you know, I mean, I know that we, what do we lose? Five a day, three a day, whatever.
The
I mean,
soldiers,
you know,
yes.
But I mean, when it's spotlighted and stuff, it's just another, and this is not even inside Iraq now. This is in Saudi Arabia. I mean, this thing is just getting out of control. And man, I tell you, I think about policy and what's happened with this country and why this stuff is happening.
We're
fueling the flames. We're pouring gasoline on this.
That's why I wish you would all follow my lead and ride a bicycle to work.
I will now. Now you've convinced me.
The price of oil is just skyrocketing.
I know.
I don't understand the fluctuations.
And I read your letter, you know, to Jerry Lewis about using the dry look at the telethon this year. I know you're trying your best.
Live from the John Quincy Adams Studio, here's Buzz Burbank.
Really?
It was the vice president, not the president, who gave the order to shoot down the airliners that had been hijacked on 9/11. The order came too late in all the chaos inside.
Yeah, I'm keeping it in check right now.
Come on, remember, Mike.
I know
it's the news, but we got to try to be light here.
In all the chaos inside and between government agencies, the planes were already down at the hands of the hijackers when that order was given.
Yeah, this whole report that they finally got together, the 9 Commission, 9/11 Commission, basically what they're saying is, well, it's too late to change it now, but we handled everything wrong.
Yeah.
Everything wrong. We weren't prepared.
And
obviously,
it gives you a pretty good idea of who was running the country, too.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, to me, I always thought the number one guy was called the president.
And even though the planes were already down, still, Cheney believed he had done the unthinkable. He told Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld at that point that American jets had downed the civilian planes. These findings just out yesterday from the aforementioned 9/11 Commission on Capitol Hill. They also found no evidence to support Cheney's claim he was acting on the authority of the president. There's no record of the phone call he says he made.
Can anyone with a mind for history say Al Haig?
Mm-hmm.
I am in charge, gentlemen.
Here now.
The commission also found that the president spent at least 5 more minutes at a photo opportunity even after learning that the second World Trade Center tower had been hit.
Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah, because he's such a dope.
And funny, you should mention that. Much to everyone's surprise, the Republican news channel known as Fox is praising Michael Moore's new movie, Fahrenheit 9/11.
What's their spin on that?
The Fox News movie reviewer calls it, quote, a really brilliant piece of work and a film that members of all political parties should see without fail, end quote.
Nothing else?
That's it. No criticism.
Well, that guy's going to be out of a job if he's working for Fox.
Probably. When do they run those reviews? Like between 2 and 2:05 a.m.?
Rupert Murdoch will not like this.
Today? Because today I'm surfing by and I go to 360, which is Fox News, and I see Fox News Alert. And it's Bush talking to the troops somewhere in America. He's talking to troops and they're carrying it. And they come back and the announcer says, well, there's President Bush reassuring our troops that we're doing the right thing by sending, you know, the whole slant of that channel, I love saying that word, slant, the whole slant of that channel is so far to the right, I find it hard to believe
I'm amazed
that there would be a review that was positive
of
Michael
shocked.
Moore.
Yeah. I mean, especially since nobody's angrier about this than the partisan, you know, politicians.
Yeah, and in fact, some of the same conservatives who've gone after other things are now going after the Michael Moore movie as well.
And now, from the William Howard Taft Studio, Buzz Burbank.
Something lighter, perhaps. I don't know. I'll let you decide. The governor has become the liberator. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has released from prisons a record number of lifers.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
More great news.
But the thing is, they all have those things around their neck that makes their head explode.
Oh, like in that Rutger Howard movie.
All right. Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, if there's going to be a
Running Man.
Hold on. Speaking of, I know Running Man, but there was that other great movie with Rutger Howard.
Yeah, where
HBO ran it all the time.
And it would run through the certain area and their heads would explode.
And I have to tell you something. That is on one of the cable channels now. HBO used to run it all the time.
Right.
We loved it. Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, it's back.
It's back in rotation.
All right. It's back. It's the best.
I'll tell you, after 10 years of not seeing it, it's even cheesier and even better.
Oh, and from a classic comedy, who stars in that movie? He's one of the obscure characters from one of the classic comedies of all time. He had a small role in it. Dean Wormer from Animal House.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. He's
he's like the main guy. He's like the sheriff.
He's a police guy.
Yeah, he's a police guy.
When they come down to his jail, he says, there's clowns, get out of here.
And then they turn him into one, you know, where he's got the little marionette face.
He's a great heavy.
Hold on. We have news about the beheading where you can see the photos. James.
Oh, delightful.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Well, Buzz said that they were on the internet. The other guy didn't.
Hey, you know what?
Well, Mike, we're just giving
information. Tell people where they can go to see the beheading.
They'll find it anyway.
Well, they're going to find it, so we might as well just say it. Where is it, James, on the Drudge Report?
Yeah, it's on the Drudge Report.
Yeah, that's where all that junk always is. Right. So, I mean, if you got to see it, that's where.
And if you get if you get a moment, I mean, really, say a prayer for that guy's family because they, you know, that's who I feel for in all this. Yeah. I mean, those are the real victims in all this crap.
Arnold Schwarzenegger has granted parole to nearly 3 dozen convicted killers.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Let them all out of the jails.
Hi.
Killers and kidnappers just in the first 7 months of his term. His predecessor freed only 8 in 4.5 years. So that's 8 in 4.5 years versus 34 in 7 months.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's using good German math.
Quoting Arnold, people can reform and be reformed. Arnold's critics say he's soft on crime. Arnold's supporters say former Governor Gray Davis was only trying to appear to be tough on crime by refusing to release these lifers.
Well, you know, the nice thing about I believe time will tell.
And about Gray Davis, has anybody seen that dude on TV, like in one of his appearances with Arnold? If he did half as good a job as coming off as he does now that he's lost, he would have kicked Arnold's ass in that election.
And also, things have come to light with those tapes about Enron with the with the controlling of the energy prices.
Right.
That Gray Davis was not as much at fault as he was made out to be in California.
Right.
Because a lot of this, you know, those guys. Have you heard any of those tapes from those Enron guys where they're talking about?
Sure.
Yeah, the little old grandmother. We're going to jack her up there.
I did.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic, Phil. Hey, that'll put a little big on the bottom line. Good job.
Here's one of those Enron tapes right now.
Congratulations, this is Max Baird Jr., Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Just won the CBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
All right.
From Enron.
And now things get much lighter, but we stay in California. The top election official in Sacramento is worried she came off like a dope in a recent appearance on the Emmy Award-winning Daily Show.
Impossible.
I saw it. She did not come off like a dope. Still, she's worried.
Jill Levine is not comfortable with the fact that after her explanation of the various problems facing the state's election system, interviewer Rob Corddry responded, and I quote,
"He's funny.
Now, can you take that long-ass answer and put it in a nutshell like I asked you to?"
That's good.
Which she then did. Corddry, in the name of comedy, made himself look like a jerk, certainly not the election lady, and the real target of the piece was the California lawmaker sponsoring a bill to let 14-year-olds vote.
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong
not
at all.
Not a thing that I can see. Larry King is denying that he wears Depends adult diapers.
Great, he's denying it. It's great he's denying it because now he has to discuss it.
We had it yesterday, folks.
Yes, yes, you did.
The story yesterday was there is a French... Oh, Larry King the Frog. There's a French reality show where they go to celebrities' houses and go through their garbage.
Right.
When they went to Larry King's house, they found Depends adult diapers.
Not Depends adult diapers, an empty box.
An empty box. Now, yesterday, CNN, when we told you the story, CNN said we have no comment on this.
Right.
What is Larry's comment?
Larry had no comment at the time, but the talk show host phoned the New York Post yesterday to talk about the work of these two French photographers who specialize in taking pictures of celebrity garbage. The photographers say they found a Depends bag in Larry's trash. Quoting Larry's call to the Post, "They must have been in someone else's garbage. I've never heard of Depends. I wouldn't know what a Depends looks like."
Okay, you know what that is? That is me don't think the frog protested too much. That you could go to a retarded person and say, "What are Depends?" And
right.
"For me to go in bathroom."
Absolutely. He went a little too far, didn't he?
Right. Yes, he did.
Not only are they not mine, I've never heard of the product.
You can say, "I've got a lot of senior citizens in my building."
It could be that, but no. Yeah. It's a private home, right? It's a big house. It's a
single
house.
Family dwelling. Yeah.
And it's tough to get the garbage wrong.
I've never heard of these Depends.
What are these?
You know, comedians have been making jokes about them.
After a reporter explained the obvious to Larry, King replied, "I wear jockey shorts, briefs. Size 32. So now with Father's Day coming, consider that a clue.
I'm sure he wears the jockey size 32 over the Depends.
No, I'm just picturing him in those briefs, those 32 size briefs on that bony butt.
And don't forget, big knee-high black socks.
With garter belts.
And hard shoes with buckles.
Absolutely.
Walking around shirtless with his Depends.
Better than buckle shoes. You have a picture of him in the office with zip-up boots.
Yeah, zip-up. And that's the truth. Yeah.
That's a real
truth.
Picture of him up
zip
in the office.
Zip-up boots. I don't know what boots are.
I've never even heard of these Depends. And how could that be, Larry, for someone who is, as you have said, curious.
Uh-huh. Curious, I don't understand.
How could you be so curious?
Yeah, it'll get worse for him, and then he'll come out with another denial. "Well, my brother Marty was visiting."
Sandy Koufax stopped by and said, "No Jew ball player ever wore Depends."
Sandy Koufax, who today I'm proud to call a friend.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition, but aside from that, the Inquisition was not that bad, according to Pope John Paul. The Pontiff says...
That's right.
Pontiff says the number of tortures and executions has been exaggerated over the years. During the Roman Catholic Church's millennium celebrations, the Pope apologized for the crimes committed by his church as it waged war on heresy. But John Paul has a new report from church historians saying only about 1% of those tried were executed.
It wasn't that bad.
The report says burnings at the stake only occurred in civil trials, not religious
only
trials.
Only when they wouldn't listen. You know it's bad.
Right. What?
When I run out of Depends. Hey, it's the Pope. I know what they are. It's when you go in your pants.
Yes, thank you very much.
I just went.
You put those in Larry's trash, didn't you?
Larry King, talk to God. God knows you can't control your bowels.
Up but, next.
Yes, thank death, you. What's next?
Death by baptism.
Death by baptism. Oh. You're crazy with the news today, Buzz.
Crazy, man.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting from the right side of the dirt, the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, hey, stronger than dirt. Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Some Baptists who believe in baptism by submersion in water.
Oh, Buzz?
Yes.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Yeah, Jim Morrison.
What a great song.
He's dead.
Yes, he is.
Just like me.
You're not dead.
I'm dead to my wife.
Oh, come on.
Come on now.
I'll snap out of it.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
You got a whole 2 weeks to make it up to her.
Great conversation. Great conversation. Here's how it ended as she was slamming the phone down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just another thing you've screwed up.
Click.
Anyway, it's something to do with air conditioning.
Ah.
Go figure.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
It's plenty cool in this room.
Sounds like these Baptists had it worse, though.
It's plenty cool in this room.
Yeah.
Where I come to work every day. No, I'm sorry, that's wrong. Where I come to have a party every day.
A party. Well, it is a party.
The big party. The big party that I have.
To get away from the troubles of the world.
It's just another thing you've screwed up. And then, really, her hang-up is like this. And then, like a dope, I call like 10 times and she doesn't pick up the phone.
And you said, no, you didn't.
Yeah! Another thing you screwed up.
Some Baptists.
I tell you what, I screwed up this morning. I didn't put that pillow over your face.
You're kidding,
that's
of course.
What I didn't do. Yeah, I'm kidding. Buzz, I'm kidding.
I'm a kidder, Buzz.
That's right.
I'm a kidder. Love.
I'm kidding, because I love her. Who am I kidding? I don't. She's stronger than me. I wouldn't even have the strength. She'd suffocate her.
Pull a pillow behind your face in 5 seconds. You sound like Private Pyle in Full Metal Jacket.
Well, if I hit him with the soap.
Right.
You know, Carrie's pretty strong, too, but I find in times like that, I find extra strength.
Oh, God. You know,
just my
Mr. Experience. Gasoline on the flames.
Some Baptists. You call it gasoline, Mike. I call it friendship.
Some Baptists who believe in baptism by submersion in water gathered at a water park in Fort Worth, Texas.
Hey, I bet this has a good ending, Buzz.
So it's ironic four of them drowned there.
Four? Hey, that's a feel-good.
They were in town for a national Sunday school convention. They'd gone to the water park because the pool at their hotel was closed. The water in this particular spot was 9 feet deep where four people went under. Apparently, they were pulled under by the powerful suction of a pump at the bottom
of
the pool.
Look who's here. It's Mr. Clean.
Way to go!
One rescuer said there was no way a person could outswim the suction, which he says even pulled the socks off his feet.
Oh, my God.
I think socks had something to do with that.
Oh, man. You like your job?
No.
Nearly.
I mean, yes, we're doing something else for Larry Sanders.
That's right.
Okay, time to pick up the tempo again.
Yes.
Nearly 3 out of 4 Americans.
Why, that was a great feel-good.
No, I wouldn't call it a feel-good.
Well, see, I would from what I call feel-good when I read a feel-good.
Well, when you say feel-good, it means a feel-bad.
It's an ironic title that you give those stories.
It's kind of crazy and upside-down thing.
Oh, dear.
Nearly 3 out of 4 Americans are sexually experimental, according to a new survey.
Hello, Buzz.
A study out of Princeton. A study out of Princeton, the town, not the university, says 71% of us describe our sex lives as experimental, 71%, while 29% of us prefer what's, quote, tried and true.
Here's the experiment in my house.
How long?
Yeah. No, not what you think. Here's the experiment.
What is that?
What are the odds she says yes? That's always the experiment.
Playing the odds.
That experiment fails an awful lot.
Yeah, but it's an experiment.
It sure is. And I just keep saying, well, maybe change your mind if we just had some pillow talk. You know, I really have got to get to the gyms, gym because these spaghetti arms just are not going to get it done.
Won't get the job done.
She simply is too strong.
No, and flexible.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't discount that high kick.
Yeah.
The survey from Trojan Condoms says, like the little person on Jackass. Have you seen that part where he kicks himself in the head?
Yes.
How do you not laugh at that?
Survey says we may feel experimental as Americans, but we don't feel all that experienced. Only 52% of us consider ourselves, quote, seasoned sexual veterans. 48% say we're still learning the ropes. Survey says 7 out of 10 of us think abstinence is safe, but not realistic. And fewer than 1 in 4 of us carry protection.
Joe Arden.
Forget it!
Joe doesn't. Right, yeah. Forget it.
I don't carry nothing except my barbecue chicken.
I think they should change the motto to the Don't Show Me State. Missouri's governor signed a bill that bans sexually suggestive billboards within a mile of any of the state's highways. The target is strip club billboards featuring scantily clad women with captions like live nude and red hot nude. I've seen both live and red hot nude, and frankly, I like red hot better. Anyway, they don't want...
Were you editorializing there, Buzz?
Just a skosh.
That's why they call it news and comment.
That's right.
Anyway, they don't want the kids in the back seat to see this stuff, so it all has to come down by 2007.
You know, it just reminds me of the time my whole hockey team was coming back from Middletown, Connecticut, driving by the Portland Drive-In, and the Portland Drive-In during that period of time used to show some X-rated movies.
Wasn't that great back in the day?
And the Portland Drive-In did not have a properly obscured screen, and so the guys in the back of the station wagon had a good old time.
I'm sure that you've been like somewhere, maybe Rockford, Illinois, somewhere. If you were lucky enough to be driving on the highway on Saturday night for like 10 seconds as you drove by,
right,
you could see, and they would be showing.
Sure,
that,
I remember.
Not the hardcore that we love now.
No,
but you know, back in the day, you know, whatever was softcore,
Russ Meyer's Vixens, for example.
Okay, Buzz, if that's what you want to
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
You know, when I'm back home, I will drive down to see if the Portland Drive-In is still there.
You should.
I bet they've turned it into some planned housing unit.
I bet it's been torn down. There's no drive-in anywhere.
They don't put anything. Anytime there's open space, they put houses
there. Well, first it's a flea market, then they put up the house.
That's right.
At the Victoria's Secret store in the sleepy little town of Bridgewater, New Jersey, there are no security cameras, no rent-a-cops. And maybe that's why somebody got away this week with 1,000 thongs. Wow. Worth $22,000. The king or queen of all shoplifters only took thongs from the Body by Victoria line and only took the ones in pastel colors, but they took 4 bins worth of low-rise hipster bikini and thong underwear in every conceivable size.
Rob, we're going to need you to drop your pants.
I know we don't have a name, but I've got to think that this person probably has...
Sure.
Just a thought.
In sports, San Francisco Giants slugger Barry...
I probably screwed that up, though.
Barry Bonds...
Like, I've screwed everything up.
Barry Bonds says he could never...
According to my wife.
Barry Bonds says he could never play in Boston because, quote, Boston is too racist for me. When a reporter asked him about possibly ending his career in the American League as a designated hitter, Bond said he'd based his decision not on personal experience, but on the advice of other guys and on his father's experience.
You know, Boston's got a nasty track record for that, and it's because of the history in the 70s and things like that. But, you know, come on, it is 2004.
Should be fun. The Sox are in San Francisco for a weekend series starting tonight. And the female president...
Sure, Boston hasn't changed.
Female
what? I said Boston hasn't changed.
Boston... Well, I mean, Boston...
I would say the same thing about Chicago.
Yeah, Boston like any other city. But you know what Boston had? I really believe Boston had a terrible record in the early days of integrating teams, you know, like the Brooklyn Dodgers.
They were one of the last.
And then Boston had the whole busing thing where I tell people, I mean, you talked about the Deep South when that whole busing thing was going down. You want to talk about riots?
Right.
Go to South Boston and see how some of the South Boston Catholics reacted to that. So, you know, they get that rap, and unfortunately that happens.
Finally, it's been so hot and humid in some parts of the country, it makes you want to tackle an ice cream cone. In Orem, Utah, it was the Dairy Queen employee Andrea Wilcox's turn to put on the ice cream suit.
Oh, someone has to wear that suit, look like ice cream
cone?
Yeah,
the one that makes you look like a curly top DQ single serve cone.
Right.
And then for no apparent reason, a kid tackles her like he's playing in the Super Bowl.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, she's fine, but Sophie...
Oh, gosh.
Sophie, who runs that particular DQ, says from now on she'll send a buddy out with whoever's wearing the suit.
A blocker.
The kid was never caught, so he may be back for seconds. I'm Buzz Burbank.
That's sweet.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, gosh.
No.
Yeah, that's it. We got to,
Hold on. Bye-bye.
What happened to that? I don't know that, man. I know we got to leave, but why did we get this going so quickly?
We were done.
It's machine number 3. With the new goodbye song.
Spreading like a virus.
We hit the button. This thing is an abortion. My wife is right. I can't get anything right.
Oh, come on now. Chin up.
Hey, Mike, I know it's not me.
It's not
the equipment.
You. It is the equipment.
Just like with my wife. It's not me. It's my wife.
That's right.
Have a very safe holiday. And, Robbie, if I'm not mistaken, when we get back, these problems won't happen because we'll be computerized, right?
Exactly.
That's it. We got to go. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Good day to you, sir.
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 Good day to you, sir. Nice and cool. Yeah, nice and cool. Shut up. Okay, conspiracy theorists, we have not been fired. We are not suspended. We'll be back on the day after the 4th of July.
Amen, brother.
The day after that. So we'll see you and...
Go to bed on time.
Bye, honey.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.